great day.
Don't come knocking, and I'm burning up like a glowing coal, like the peace of my soul.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Chrysler and the UAW have a deal already.
I'm happy. Very happy.
The Pickett song sure didn't last long.
I want to see health care for us and the retirees. I don't want to lose any of my benefits that I have already.
WWJ's Jeff Gilbert in Detroit on the tentative contract.
This deal ends the strike against Chrysler after less than 7 hours. A statement from the union saying the agreement was made possible because workers made it clear they needed a deal that rewarded the contributions that they made to the company. Many analysts predicted the strike would be a short one because a lengthy walkout would have hurt both Chrysler and the UAW. This deal will have to be ratified by Chrysler workers. Just today, GM workers ratified their tentative contract. The union will now turn its attention to Ford.
In Cleveland, Ohio, there was gunfire at a high school. At least 10 shots, according to students who were there, at Success Tech Academy, a high school for exceptional students.
He's dressed in black, a church coat with boots, a chain, like a something on his neck. Like when he got suspended, he said, "I got something for y'all." And I thought he was just playing because like he said all the time, but I see that he was for real.
The 14-year-old student managed to get past security with two handguns. Before he killed himself, he shot and wounded two fellow students and two of the adults in the school as well. The government has identified 8 million people in this country who are evidently using bogus Social Security numbers on the job. But a federal judge in San Francisco says the government cannot require employers to double-check their workers.
Under the plan, workers who could not be confirmed as legal would have to be fired. And employers would face fines, even criminal charges, if they did not comply. But a federal judge in San Francisco today temporarily blocked the program, saying simple record-keeping errors could hurt innocent people by causing, quote, the termination of employment of lawfully employed workers.
Is this the time for the U.S. government, the U.S. Congress, to pass a resolution to make a political statement about Armenian genocide by Ottoman Turks?
Backer said there is no reason Turkey should get so upset about a resolution recognizing the Armenian genocide as a genocide, since it was carried out almost 100 years ago during the Ottoman Empire, when modern Turkey didn't even exist. But they do care deeply, and opponents who agree there's nothing wrong with what the non-binding resolution says say it's too dangerous to anger Turkey at a time we need them for critical supply lines into Iraq.
And CBS's Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. To solve a case of poisoning after someone drinks antifreeze, ethylene glycol, the doctors pump pure alcohol into an IV, which blocks or neutralizes the glycol. There was an Italian tourist at an Australian hospital that ran out of the pharmaceutical-grade alcohol, so they used good Russian vodka, equivalent of 3 drinks an hour for 24 hours. On Wall Street, the Dow down 85, NASDAQ up 7. This is CBS News.
Reason number 9 to switch to GEICO. There's nothing sweeter than saving money on car insurance. It's one of those rare opportunities in life where you can thumb your nose at the system and say, "Okay, system, listen up. I just got a better deal with GEICO. Great savings, personal service 24/7, and the latest in online technology." Of course, the system may sulk for a day or two, but you're going to feel a lot better.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I'm thinking of a number between 450 and 850. Know what it is? It's my credit score, and it happens to be 720. Do you know your credit score? Do you know what's in your credit report? You can find out right now at freecreditreport.com. How much easier could it get? Log on to freecreditreport.com. It's fast, free, and easy. That's freecreditreport.com. Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
A shopping cart designed to tell you what you're buying.
Oh, great. As if our conscience wasn't bad enough, soon there could be another little voice in our heads asking if we really want to buy that double fudge pretzel-flavored ice cream. Prototypes of the first smart supermarket cart have already begun rolling down the aisles. The carts read the calories and fat content of each item, as well as determining whether a product is eco-friendly and ethically sourced. But surprise, surprise, preliminary studies suggest most shoppers prefer to get their information the old-fashioned way, by simply reading the label. Vicki Barker, CBS News.
That was no alligator in the sewer. It was a man looking up through the grates in Spring Valley, New York. When police opened the grate to help the homeless man out, he took off running through the sewer pipes to get away. Now, he may have been down there a while. When they finally corralled him, he babbled on a while about dolphins and women hidden down there with him. Police never did find any. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Here we have the Carrier Infinity 96 gas furnace.
Wow.
It features an AFUE rating of up to 96.6% and 40 to 120,000 BTUH capacity.
Great. I have no idea what that means.
You could save up to 33% on heating costs.
Now that I understand.
Carrier, turn to the experts. For a limited time during Cool Cash, get from $50 to $1,200 cash back on qualifying Carrier Infinity systems. Savings compared to previous Carrier models. See participating dealer for details.
When you were a kid, wishing upon a star was a cute idea. But unless I'm completely in the dark here, you're not a kid anymore. Though you still got dreams, don't you? You got a plan to get them up and running, or are you just keeping your fingers crossed? Maybe it's time for a wake-up call.
Dream Plan Track from Ameriprise Financial. Financial planning redefined. Visit us at Ameriprise.com/dream.
Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., number FINRA and SIPC.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Are you ready?
Never met a girl that makes me feel as good as you do. You're all right.
Get ready for the Peter B. Collins Show. We're launching. Get ready. We've got a lot to talk about today. We're going to kick off our program with two different angles evaluating the Democratic candidates for president. Navin Nyah will join us from the League of Conservation Voters in just a moment. We're going to talk about climate change, global warming issues, and other environmental issues as addressed by the Democratic candidates. And just for fun, we'll ask if any of the Republicans have anything going in the green zone. And that's not the one in Baghdad. Later this hour, Richard Maxwell will join us. He's co-author of a book called Elements of Persuasion. And he's going to rate the candidates based on their ability to communicate with voters. So I think that'll be interesting. Next hour, we get an update on the situation in Burma. Larry Doors will join us from the U.S. Campaign for Burma. And in particular, we're going to talk about the role of the Chevron Oil Company. Last time we checked, it's an American flag oil company. And they're busy doing business with the military junta in Burma, or do you prefer Myanmar? And just booked moments ago, Emmy McLean will join us from the Center for Constitutional Rights in our second hour. She's one of the attorneys working there. We're going to talk about a couple of developments. Khalid El-Masri was a German guy who got picked up and treated to a free jet ride. We called it Extraordinary Rendition. And he was tortured in Afghanistan, ultimately released when it was learned that his arrest was a matter of mistaken identity. And the Roberts Supreme Court has declined to hear his case. We'll also talk about a powerful ruling from a courageous judge who has blocked the transfer of a detainee who might have been sent someplace to be tortured. We'll talk about that. And in our free speech zone, we'll take your phone calls. We were planning, and let me just pull back the curtain here for a moment. You probably listen to this program and may come away with the perception that it's all carefully planned weeks or at least days in advance. And you're welcome to enjoy that perception or imagine that that's the case. But as we were going on the air, we learned that there may be a settlement already in the contract dispute that spun out into a very short strike, if the news we're getting is correct, between the United Auto Workers and Chrysler. So we had set aside our the second half hour of the second hour, that's 4:30 Pacific time, to talk about the situation in Detroit. And all of our contacts there say, no, we don't want to talk about it because we don't know if there's a settlement yet or not. So we shifted gears, and Katrina Rill, our able producer, comes through once again. And so that's how the show maps out today, and I'm glad you're listening. Hope you'll join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B whenever the urge strikes you. That's 1-888-573-8372. 888-5-PETER-B. Feel free to join us along the way. First up, we want to talk about the candidates for president and their positions on the environment and on global warming. And Navin Nyah joins us from the League of Conservation Voters. Navin, welcome.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's good to be here.
Well, thanks for joining us, and thanks for the work you do. This is, of course, a very important set of issues. And we're seeing that many of the candidates have kind of bland positions or just feel-good positions. But your organization has singled out Barack Obama for his recent speech. It was just a few days ago, where he came out in favor of a mandatory cap-and-trade program and also incentives to cut the production of carbon dioxide and other pollutants that cause global warming. In your view, and we're not asking for this as an endorsement, okay, but
sure,
just as an evaluation to date of the various candidates, is he perhaps the strongest so far on these climate change issues?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because I think it's just a great reflection of how much, you know, your show withstanding, notwithstanding, I should say, but a lot of the media has sort of failed to cover these issues. The truth of the matter is that actually Senator Edwards released a very comprehensive and aggressive global warming plan way back in April,
mm-hmm,
and did a lot of the things that Senator Obama has done. And then a few months after that, Governor Richardson unveiled what is also an incredibly comprehensive plan on global warming and energy policy, and really trying to shake things up in that realm. And you know, we're very enthusiastic about the policy and the plan that Senator Obama came out with this week. The encouraging thing is that it's the first one that the national media has really glommed onto and covered in any significant way,
mm-hmm,
which has helped get the issue out there in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I just learned that I mispronounced your name, Navin. I apologize.
Oh, no problem.
Navin Nyah, spelled N-A-V-I-N. And also, I linked up to a website from your main website at lcv.org, League of Conservation Voters, and you have a separate site at presidentialprofiles2008.org. And this is a real attractive site. It's easy to use and click on, and you have the candidates arrayed there in alphabetical order related to their positions on the environment. So that's a great resource. Did you work on putting that together?
Yeah, there are actually two different projects that that we're running. One is called the heatison.org, and the actual URL is heatison.org. And that's something that we launched over a year ago to really track the candidates' statements and comments in all of the early voting states while they're out there talking to voters in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada. And if you go to www.heatison.org, there's actually now more than 200 video clips of candidates on both sides of the aisle,
mm-hmm,
excuse me,
sure,
answering questions from voters, talking about the issue in their stump speech, going into great detail. So it's really a comprehensive list of what the candidates have been saying. On that page, we have what we call a candidate chart of where the candidates currently stand, which really looks at some of the key policies, fuel efficiency, mandatory caps, and the sort of the targets they're pushing for, their position on coal, their position on renewables, and sort of updates that. And the encouraging thing, which goes to the point I was suggesting before, is we've actually updated that chart nearly a dozen times,
mm-hmm,
as candidates have outlined new positions.
Well,
on
and
the
this
presidential profile site, that's actually based on a questionnaire that we gave the candidates,
mm-hmm,
on not just energy and global warming, but on a wide variety of issues. And we just decided to put up their answers verbatim up there. So it's a really great way for voters and interested citizens to go see what the candidates are saying.
And, Naveen, it, too, is updated. You've even got Alan Keyes, who just sashayed into the Republican race, and yeah. Fred Thompson, too.
Yes. Well, yeah, Fred Thompson we've kind of been knowing about for a while. Alan Keyes sort of came out of nowhere just several weeks ago.
Is there any way we could send him back? I'd buy the ticket. One way. What a character he is.
Yes, he keeps things interesting, although he wasn't even a part of the debate yesterday, so we'll see how much influence he has on it.
Mm-hmm. So let me zoom in a little bit and ask you to the extent you can, to describe the positions of the Democratic candidates, in particular on mandatory cap-and-trade programs to try to reduce emissions and create offsets that incentivize people to reduce emissions further, and those who need to pollute will pay an appropriate cost for that, so that we're building in the true round-trip cost of these activities to our consumption.
Yeah, I mean, the story on the Democratic side is very encouraging. All of the candidates at this point support sort of what the scientific community is calling for, which is an 80% reduction in our emissions based on 1990 levels. So, you know, it's a pretty significant cut by the year 2050. And a lot of them have supported a bill. The ones that are in Congress have supported a bill that's co-sponsored by Senator Boxer and Senator Sanders from Vermont, which calls for a mandatory cap on emissions starting as soon as possible and, reducing the cap until we get an 80% reduction halfway through the century.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every single candidate has supported that. Governor Richardson has actually called for a faster timetable. He says that we got to get 90% emissions by 2050 and is calling for 80% emissions by 2040.
Mm-hmm.
And it just really kind of highlights the challenge that we face here, is that the science is shifting so fast on this issue. And if anything has happened in the last few years, it's that the scientists are realizing that they were conservative in a lot of their modeling and are seeing real physical changes, particularly in the Arctic and with the polar ice caps, much faster than they had initially anticipated.
And Naveen, you know, sometimes it's a little dizzying to hear these numbers and to hear projections about, 80% by 2040. A lot of people don't think that far ahead. They don't plan to be living on the planet at that point. So how do we get real about these targets and what is achievable? And even if it's not achievable, what do we need in order to keep this planet from melting down?
I think that's a great point. We don't need to get caught up in long distance or long-term time frames. I think the simple story is that we need to, starting right now, basically reduce emissions by about 2% a year. And we need to do that until we have made a significant dent in our carbon emissions. And I think another way to get the people thinking about this is right now we've developed an energy system that's based on coal and oil, and we rely on those technologies, those polluting technologies, for well over 80% of all of our energy. Basically, in the course of a couple of generations, we've got to flip that around so that instead of getting 80% from those technologies, we've got to get less than 20 or less than 15%.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line in how all of this happens is that we have to send a signal to the market that it's going to cost something to pollute.
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't realize this. We think that the federal government regulates all kinds of things. And, there's regulations for sulfur and for nitrogen oxides and water pollution, but we don't regulate carbon dioxide at all. There is absolutely no cost associated with burning as much coal as you want in terms of the pollution it creates.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return with Naveen Nayar from the League of Conservation Voters. He's their director of global warming issues. And if you have a question or comment, we're talking in particular about the candidates for president. And we won't leave the Republicans out. We'll at least spend a minute talking about them in the next segment. You can call in now, toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372 for the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
The following is a test of the emergency alert system in accordance with regulations of the Federal Communications Commission. This station is testing its emergency alert system equipment. This is only a test. This has been a test of the emergency alert system. We now return you to regular programming.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. See, people feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey, and if you have a new emerging business like I do, consider advertising on KRXA 540 AM. KRXA is one of the best values on the Central Coast in today's competitive marketplace. Beyond Wheat has seen noticeable and consistent growth since our ads began with KRXA. We are muffins ahead in sales every month thanks to sales manager Larry Rathall. Call Larry at 394-KRXA. That's 394-5792. You'll be so glad you did.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Where do the Democratic presidential candidates stand on global warming?
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenity.
The Associated Press reported today, worldwide economic growth has accelerated the level of greenhouse gas emissions to a dangerous threshold that scientists had not expected for another decade. It's expected that the final report from the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, that's the UN-related organization, that report will be due out at the end of November. And I don't think this is a leak, but some advance information from it indicates that we may be accelerating this process even faster than we thought.
Naveen Naya is with us from the League of Conservation Voters. He's director of global warming issues. And Naveen, just with that report, are we in a position where we've been dithering and dickering and denying for so long that almost any action we take may not have much effect?
Well, no, I don't think we have to despair just yet. It is very discouraging that we've lost the last 7 years where things have gotten worse. But there's no doubt that with a really strong leadership at the national level, we can make a real dent in this problem in the next decade. And that really is the challenge. The next decade is really the window of time that the scientists have said is going to sort of make or break this situation. And we're going to reach a tipping point in the next decade, and there's going to be a lot riding on the leadership of the next president. But there's no doubt that with the right leadership that this problem can really be tackled.
All right. Dave in Eureka has a question, I think, along the same lines. Go ahead, Dave. You're on the air.
Yes, it is very much along the same line. I think that there's some very credible people now that feel that even the likes of Al Gore miscalculated the rate at which this environment is deteriorating. Some feel that if you could abruptly shut down all pollution today, the harm is already beyond repair. There's those that fear that. So,
well, and, you know, without being alarmist, Dave, I believe that we need to take more extreme steps, such as promising that by 2040 we're going to stop using oil as an energy source, except in, you know, real extreme or rare situations where there is absolutely no alternative. I feel that we got to get off the sauce. Naveen?
Yeah, no, I think there's no doubt that, little measures are not going to cut it. Trying to cut, dependence on oil by a small percentage in the next 20 years is really going to put us down put us in a very bad situation. But just to the caller's point, it isn't, a black and white scenario. Global warming is really a gradient, and it could heat to 2 degrees, it could heat to 3 degrees, it could heat to 4, 5, 6. If we do absolutely nothing, the worst case scenario is really catastrophic. Global warming is already happening, though. It's, in a certain level, things have already started changing very, very concretely.
Mm-hmm.
So the real thing that scientists point to is hitting these emissions targets in the next few decades so that we avoid the worst impacts.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate your call. Now, Naveen, we're not fair and balanced on this program. We don't even pretend. But I did promise that I would ask you about the Republicans. Is there any Republican candidate who you believe really gets the seriousness of the threat and has proposed meaningful approaches?
At this point, the only Republican candidate is Senator McCain. Senator McCain actually has been a real leader on this issue since his last presidential run in 2000, where New Hampshire voters repeatedly dogged him about this issue, and he even tells a story of recognizing that he had no answer to it. And to his credit, he went and did research, actually took a trip with Senator Clinton to the Arctic and to Greenland, I believe, and really came back a believer. And he introduced a bill several years ago that for a long time was the primary bill in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been a real, he's been committed to a mandatory cap and to significant reductions.
Well, wasn't that trip with Hillary the one where they had the vodka drinking contest?
I don't know if that was the same one.
All right, and Naveen, one other candidate we haven't touched on, Dennis Kucinich. On many issues, he's offered the most detailed, thoughtful proposals. Where is he, in your view, on climate change and in particular cap and trade?
Oh, I mean, I think he's very consistent with the rest of the field on this issue. I don't think that he may be a little bit more aggressive in terms of his commitment to getting off the sauce, as you said. But I think that all of the Democratic candidates are putting forth proposals that, frankly, demonstrate that they're proposing something that's commensurate with the problem.
Very good.
Serious about this issue.
All right, Naveen, thank you for joining us again. The two websites, heatison.org, and let me scroll down here, the website Presidential Profiles. Here it is. I got too many screens up. Presidentialprofiles2008.org. Thank you, Naveen.
Thanks a lot.
All right, good to talk with you. Coming up next, we'll talk about the way the candidates communicate.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network. The Homeland Security Department's Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE for short, has picked up some of the lingo of the military in the Iraq War. They've been carrying out a campaign, Operation Community Shield, in cities across the country to round up foreign-born criminals and other immigrants who ignored deportation orders. Over the last 4 months, they picked up more than 1,300 of them in what Assistant Secretary of Homeland Security Julie Myers calls a surge.
343 individuals, or 26% of those we arrested in this surge, had violent criminal histories.
More after this.
When's the best time to save on service for your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Right now. Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event. Buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get a $50 gas card on us. That's a $50 gas card on us. And there's more. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. That's two great ways to save on the tires recommended for your vehicle. You'll also find fantastic savings on Motorcraft brakes, batteries, maintenance packages, and more. Plus, our Ford-trained experts use only genuine Ford parts. Right place, right prices, right now. Hurry, the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event ends soon. Visit your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership right now.
Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer through 11307.
Many of the 7,655 illegal immigrants arrested in Operation Community Shield since 2005 have been gang members. They come from Mexico and from a lot of other countries, too, including Armenia, India, Indonesia, Jordan, and Peru.
These violent transnational organizations feature a predominantly foreign-born membership, and they're frequently involved in many types of crimes, including murder, kidnapping, extortion, and human smuggling.
Julie Myers says many of these gang leaders are the worst kind of bad guys.
We arrested some of the worst of the worst. Take Alex Perez, for example. A known Norte Vario Northside gang member. At his address, we seized more than 3,600 grams of cocaine, a pound of marijuana, numerous weapons, including an Uzi, and $65,000 in cash.
600 of those arrested in the so-called surge have already been sent back where they came from. Myers goes out of her way to acknowledge that ICE didn't do this all by themselves. They had a lot of help.
ICE agents, along with the cooperation of more than 120 federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies, and some of our international partners, arrested more than 1,300 individuals in over 30 communities.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song
and dance,
another 4 seconds.
Ah, but will it produce good storytelling?
It's just another captain going down with the ship. Just another jerk taking pride in his work.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Lines are open if you'd like to join us. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. Richard Maxwell joins us now, and I just learned that he's been listening, and that's dangerous. We prefer to have our guests secluded off stage with headphones playing beautiful music by Mantovani so that they are not disturbed by what happens before or after they join us. But Richard Maxwell has a computer, and he availed himself of our live stream and was listening online to the preceding segment. Richard is the co-author of the book Elements of Persuasion. Welcome to our program, sir.
Thank you. It's fun to be here.
Well, thanks for joining us. And Katrina told me that when she chatted with you just a moment ago, that you were listening and you had some comments to the first segment of our show. So lay them on me, please.
Well, I just... One of the tricks in political storytelling is that you have to clearly define your obstacle and your problem. When you do that, you release a lot of emotion. It's adrenaline. It can go either fight or flight, so you have to modulate it. I was very impressed with your last guess when the caller said, well, you know, we might not have time. It might be too late, which is quite often my reaction to, like, when I find out that there is no polar ice cap anymore. The response of, you have to see it as a gradient, there, and the implied there is time, I thought was very important to hear, and really helped me get my hands around the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been enjoying the show.
Well, good. Thank you. And let's zoom out here a little bit, but stay focused on the environment for a moment. Which of the candidates, and pick Democrats or Republicans, we don't care, which do you think really know how to tell a story and how to connect with people about environmental issues?
Al Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I say this, I know that whenever I say Al Gore, most of my Democratic friends say, but he's not running.
Well, there's another full-page ad, Draft Al Gore, in the New York Times today.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
But they always say it right after the phrase, well, wouldn't that be great, but, you know? And Al Gore is a good example of using the five story elements, political story elements, we see every successful story having. Okay. The story elements are basically, there's the passion with which you tell your story. There's a hero through whose eyes you can see the story and make it your own. There's a problem that the hero has to overcome. There's a moment of inspiration that allows the hero to prevail. And there's a change that takes place. And if we're talking about the environment, Al Gore, when we go political, when we say, well, Al Gore is completely passionately connected to the environment. And I don't think anybody doubts that. He has a clear point of view about it, and more than that, he is connected. When we talk about politics and point of view and political heroes, we're really talking about building a political base. And his Earth concerts showed that his political base on this issue is international, and he's a voice that's extremely trusted, and we can see the world through his eyes, and we agree. So then the issue is, who are his enemies? And his enemies are the perfect enemies. There's Big Oil. There's Big Pharma. There's Halliburton. I mean, you can't get a better group of enemies to help you be a great hero.
Mm-hmm.
He is inspiring. You don't win an Academy Award for a slideshow unless you're able to inspire. Okay?
Well, but it was in the PowerPoint category, and there was no competition.
True. The rap of the conventional wisdom in Washington is he's not good on the stump. I disagree. I think he's great on the stump. And the best thing is that he can now, 8 years later, run as an outsider. He was the ultimate Washington insider. He can legitimately run as an outsider. And running as an outsider, he becomes an agent of transformation or change, which is the last element we have to have.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring that up only because it lets me bring up all five elements. And also because even though I try to deal with these things simply as a story elements and not have a personal opinion, I do. so.
Yeah, I can understand that. Richard Maxwell is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you'd like to talk with him or tell him a story, give us a call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Richard, something you touched on there, inside versus outside, and the way the candidates often position themselves is running against Washington. How's Hillary Clinton going to manage this? Because she is trying to convey the message that she is both a part of the establishment and an agent for change.
I think her real difficulty, if I analyze her, I think her passion to run is white hot. I think she has a strong constituency. First, she's the only woman candidate. That's 51% of the electorate. She also has the old Friends of Bill network, which are great money lenders. So she has a base. She has the best enemies money can buy. I mean, Karl Rove quits to attack her. She doesn't have to attack anybody. She just holds still, and she gets the best enemies. She's light on inspiration. It's hard for her to inspire, and I don't know how she's going to do it. I trust that she will, because I think she's incredibly skillful. But I haven't heard it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard it. When I hear that, the whole story's done, but I haven't heard it yet. And her health care, she did a brilliant move with health care. And the S-chip thing is just sort of the whammy that comes after it.
Now, what part was brilliant, in the 90s or recently? Hillary on health care.
The way she baited President Bush into making the veto,
mm-hmm.
Okay, which is so against the poll numbers. It's going to be so bad for the Republicans. That's why she was laughing on all those interviews. She knew exactly what she was doing. It was sort of wonderful. It was like, wow. You know, I think she's extremely skillful. Can she run as an outsider? No, she can't. She can't be both the one with the experience and I'm the new kid. She
mm-hmm.
can't be. But
mm-hmm.
the new kid doesn't work, and that's what Obama is trying to run as. And we don't really want a new kid for president. We like him. I think he's going to be president. I don't doubt that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason his numbers haven't gone the way they should is because he doesn't really have a natural constituency.
Well, I think that's fair to say. But what I really find intriguing about Obama, and I've seen him speak in person 3 times now, is that he really does understand how to give a speech. He has a thread, a full narrative with characters, real people who you can relate to. And he sews it all up in a manner that I find unusual and very rewarding on a certain level. Now, as a policy guy and a political wonk, I'm frustrated because on way too many issues, Barack Obama has not defined himself in explicit terms. He talks in generalities, and people project on him the details of their own policy positions and say, oh, yeah, he agrees with me because, after all, he said this, this, and this. But when you really analyze it, there are very few political calories in the speech-making that Barack Obama delivers. The flip side of that is that I think he's reaching people who, you know, watch Oprah Winfrey much more than they watch the Fox News Channel or Hardball, and who really want to like the person who is president, as opposed to having a checklist of the issues and is he sufficiently pro-choice, is he sufficiently, you know, pro-environment. A lot of it is a lot of decisions are made on less specific notions.
Completely agreed. Completely agreed. And, you know, that's what Drew Weston's book, which is trying to ask the Democrats to connect more to their emotions, is all about, and I completely agree. The thing is, I think he's going to be president, because I think he's going to be president for the same reason that Willie Mays played center field, because that's what this person was born to do. They are just such a natural. He connects with the politics of the world in a completely refreshing way.
Mm-hmm.
And he does. He tells a great story. But what he has right now is passion and vitality and vibrance. He doesn't yet have strong political positioning skills, and he doesn't quite know. He's still a little nervous about really calling out the enemy.
Yeah, that's true, and that's been frustrating to me.
That will come with time, because, you know, look at how many times, you know, I wish it didn't happen, but look at how many times Ronald Reagan took a run at becoming president before he became president. We don't expect, it's unreal for Democrats to expect one time out of the box, and that's it.
Yeah.
It takes time.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's compare Barack Obama with John Edwards. Edwards has just a little more political experience on the national level than Obama does. Yet people don't raise the same questions about his inexperience, his lack of foreign policy experience in particular. And at the same time, I really appreciate the way John Edwards has defined himself in this race as much more of an economic populist. He got beyond his very tiresome Two Americas story, although it had a lot of import and impact. I don't dismiss it. I just got tired of it.
Sure.
And in this campaign, he really seems to be very, very focused. And that focus, I think, is both an advantage and a disadvantage, because I think that he doesn't have the kind of peripheral vision that many politicians do have that enable them to read a room, read a situation, and adjust accordingly. And he tends to come in and just deliver the speech that he has in his mind, kind of irrespective of who's actually in the room.
I would agree. Yeah, I would totally agree. You know, I'm not quite sure why he hasn't gotten more traction. He's doing very well in Iowa. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes Iowa. I'm not sure how he's going to do in New Hampshire. His story can change very quickly because I think he's a very good natural orator. But you're right. He tends to write his script. And he doesn't press home. You know, his health care plan was out there before Hillary's.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, one of the things I talk about in the book, we talk about in the book in terms of personal presentation, is a concept that comes from the great samurai, which is Noichi Itouchi, which is to win with one stroke. And in any good stump speech, there's always one sentence that just cuts to the quick, and where you really get it. So I was listening to Tom Harkin's Steak Fry, which is really the kickoff for all the great stump speeches. And Hillary's line was this wonderful thing. I mean, it was totally heartfelt. It was just sweet. And she just said, you know, you should come with me and see the mothers who bring their daughters to shake my hand and say to their daughters, honey, you can be anything you want. And there was a 90-year-old woman who came to me and shook my hand and said, you know, I was born when women couldn't vote, and I will live to see a woman president. And you could just feel the whole audience open at that moment.
Mm.
Okay. Edwards' speech came back, and he talked health care. And what he said was, I've got a plan for universal health care. And unlike a lot of people here, I'll tell you how I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to rescind the tax breaks that Bush has given to the very wealthy. And the crowd just roared. They loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera picked up on Hillary. 2 days later, she came out with her health plan.
Mm-hmm.
She's that quick.
Mm-hmm.
She's that good. Okay, but that's where he really had a chance to get some distance. She's just really good. And she read the crowd, she read the story, she heard his story, and she knew she had to have her out there, and she did it.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. We're going to take a break and return. Richard Maxwell is with us, co-author of Elements of Persuasion. And we're talking about the candidates and their communication skills. If you have a question or comment, or you want to point out an episode that you think fits our conversation, call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Pacific Grove's Joe Romby has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Romby's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose. You'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Romby's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129. Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Richard Maxwell, the co-author of Elements of Persuasion, and a guy who's pretty impressed with Hillary Clinton. Spelled it out there, James.
But it wouldn't be nothing.
Oh, nothing. Now, instead of some Celine Dion power pop piece of junk, Hillary should have picked James Brown for her campaign theme song.
I agree.
Wouldn't you agree, Richard?
I agree. I think she's got to go back to roots.
I love that song, and I miss James Brown. I want to just ask you to give us a quick sketch of your book, Elements of Persuasion. Richard, I generally don't invite people on the program if I haven't read the book, but this worked out this way, and I want to get the book and read it and then invite you to come back, because I'm fascinated with the way you parse things.
Well, Elements of Persuasion I wrote with my partner, Bob Dickman, Robert Dickman. We come out of the entertainment industry. We're consultants and communications consultants. The idea is that every story has five basic elements. Okay. The passion with which you tell it, the hero that allows people to come into it and see it as their own story, an antagonist, moments of inspiration that allow the hero to win, and a transformation. Those five elements relate to the old five elements of the Greeks: fire, earth, water, air. And the fifth element, which Aristotle added, which was entelechy, or space, sometimes called ideas, sometimes called ether. So this is very deep. It's very deeply embedded in our culture, and not just our culture. Chinese medicine is also based on five elements, so slightly different, but essentially the same concept. Modern scholarship has shown that these aren't physical elements. The Greeks never thought of them as physical elements. They saw them as psychological states. And we see those psychological states as crucial to communications and automatically part of any story. Mm-hmm. And then you can analyze the story that way and find out what's wrong with it and what's right with it. And it actually lets you, in politics, it lets you stay just a little ahead of the curve because it all comes from the cognitive processes of story.
Mm-hmm.
And cognitive psychology now calls this whole area narratology. You know, the idea that narrative is inherent in our bodies.
Right.
It is literally on our genome. There's a gene called the FOXP2 gene, which is all about what makes human beings tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we approach it. And the book basically tells you how to do a great story. It's a business book. Okay, the full title is The Elements of Persuasion: Use Storytelling to Pitch Better, Sell Faster, and Win More Business.
Uh-huh.
Slightly embarrassed about that. But
authors often don't get to choose the title, subtitle, or cover art of their book.
Yeah, but you know, but it's a fair thing about what we're doing. Now, from this, my standpoint, one of the reasons I got involved in the book and enjoyed it so much is I have years ago, before I started writing screenplays, I was a political consultant. I mean, I ran a very minor league one.
Tell us the level of campaigns.
Mostly Democratic primary candidates in, around New York.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did one in Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Mostly I was running media groups, phone banks, that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But this was really in the day, long time ago.
All right.
Okay. But I'm fascinated by political stories, so there are a lot of political analysis. You know, how viral advertising was used to destroy John McCain's 2000 candidacy.
Well, viral covers a lot of sins there, like push polling and the other nasty tactics that they used. Richard, I just have about 2.5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get you to focus on one thing, because for my money and my politics, Dennis Kucinich has all the issues down right.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate his approach to single-payer national health care. He's one of the few people who's willing to talk about impeachment, and I'm crazy enough to support that. His position on getting us out of Iraq is clear, consistent, and the most detailed of any candidate out there. Yet he cannot gain traction. He's written off and marginalized by the media because he doesn't raise enough money and doesn't show high enough in the polls. What would you do if you were advising him to get him more traction and to find ways to connect his excellent policy positions with the voters who would likely support them if they knew about him? I mean, he's got the beautiful wife who's a little taller than him. Is that helping?
Okay. I'm going to say this. I actually totally mean it.
Okay.
Okay. And I expect somebody to yell at me for it, and that's fine.
Go ahead.
I change his diet. Politics is blood sport. You need protein. You don't give Muhammad Ali a tofu burger before he steps in the ring. It won't work.
Huh.
I wish it were, but politics is the art of the real.
So okay. vegans just can't cut it. Is that it?
It's pretty close to it. You know, it's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair. Okay. Now, if he had... I said protein. I didn't necessarily say animal protein.
Right. Well, I was just thinking of holding a fundraiser for him at In-N-Out Burger.
Well, there's a very famous fundraiser that was held for him in San Francisco where a very large Democratic donor stood up and said, look, if you don't put meat on my plate, I'm not putting a check in your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's not fair. I don't say it's fair. Okay. What's great is that he runs and he pollinates all the other candidates. He doesn't, you know, Joe Biden is the same way. There are some people whose function is to raise the level of debate.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden is passionately committed to his ideas. And he's probably in the right job, and I don't think he even cares whether he gets elected. Okay? Dennis Kucinich is connected to his ideas almost without passion. He is a superb thinker,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard to get your hand, you know, it's hard to put that in your mind
Richard, I'm sorry. I got to stop because
of
the clock.
I'm running on.
We're going to talk. No, we're going to talk again soon. I appreciate it. Elements of Persuasion with a long subtitle is the book. And visit elementsofpersuasion.typepad.com. That's his blog. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much.
Me too. I enjoyed it.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A deal ends the UAW strike at Chrysler.
6.5 hours after the strike began, it was officially over.
A crackdown on illegals is derailed by a judge.
The government hoped to force businesses to match workers with legitimate Social Security numbers.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. If you haven't heard any news since this morning, you missed the strike at Chrysler. At 11 a.m. Eastern Time, with contract talks at an impasse, the United Auto Workers Union staged a walkout at most Chrysler facilities. But it was all over in a matter of hours. Jeff Gilbert of Detroit station WWJ reports the two sides reached a tentative agreement.
Union officials say they feel the strike was what it took to kind of put this over the edge and get the agreement. Union workers, many of them thought they might be out a little bit longer. A lot of them were a little hesitant about going on strike. They're very happy to be going back to work.
WWJ's Marie Osborne talked to one returning worker.
I'm happy, very happy.
What do you want to see in that deal?
I want to see health care for us and the retirees. I don't want to lose any of my benefits that I have already.
Major issues in these talks included job security for UAW members and the amount Chrysler would contribute to a union retirement fund. Today, the UAW rank and file ratified a four-year contract with General Motors. Now the union turns its attention to Ford. Now this.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste. And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Look, it's vitamin A.
Vitamins and minerals of Centrum Silver, I've got a big announcement. We've been reformulated! Yeah!
I fear change.
Relax, Zinc. Centrum Silver still helps protect the health of people over 50. And now we're better balanced to work together. Like more vitamin C and E to support natural cell repair.
C. E. I love this antioxidant.
New age-adjusted Centrum Silver. Working better together.
From A
to Zinc.
In a new effort to identify illegal immigrants, the Bush administration was poised to send out no-match letters to employers of 8 million people whose names don't match their Social Security numbers. But today, a federal judge halted the program. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick tells us what happened.
A variety of groups sued over the letters, insisting they would put the burden on policing immigration on businesses and cause problems for legal immigrant workers.
The letter would result in substantial discrimination against workers because of the way they speak or the way they look. Employers perceive them to be foreign-born.
The AFL-CIO's Anna Avendano says this attempt at immigration reform is a misguided one.
The Bush administration clearly should focus its resources in addressing the root of this crisis instead of implementing rules that essentially punish all workers.
Cammie McCormick, CBS News.
The administration says it strongly disagrees with the judge's decision and is considering an appeal. An all-too-familiar scene at an American high school.
All I saw was a boy shooting down the hallway.
A 14-year-old boy who'd been suspended from Cleveland's Success Tech Academy, an alternative school, returned today armed and dangerous.
He's dressed in black, a church coat with boots, a chain, like a something on his neck. Like, when he got suspended, he said, "I got something for y'all." And I thought he was just playing, because like he said all the time, but I see that he was for real.
The boy, who had at least two weapons, shot his way from the administrative offices to the classrooms, wounding two adults and three teenagers before killing himself. This happened across the street from the Cleveland FBI office. At a house in Crandon, Wisconsin over the weekend, six people were fatally shot by a jealous sheriff's deputy who later took his own life. Now a local pastor says the house where the deputy's girlfriend was among those killed will be demolished and replaced with a memorial to the victims. The House Foreign Affairs Committee, led by California Democrat Tom Lantos, has ignored pleas from the Bush administration.
The ayes have it. The resolution.
The resolution, which now goes to the full House, declares the 1915 killing of 1.5 million Armenians by Ottoman Turks as genocide. With 70% of U.S. air cargo to Iraq passing through Turkey, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice says the resolution is problematic.
Turkey, as an important strategic ally, is very critical in supporting the efforts that we're making in these crucial areas.
Turkey's president calls the resolution unacceptable. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Reason number 9 to switch to Geico. There's nothing sweeter than saving money on car insurance. It's one of those rare opportunities in life where you can thumb your nose at the system and say, "Okay, system, listen up. I just got a better deal with Geico. Great savings, personal service 24/7, and the latest in online technology." Of course, the system may sulk for a day or two, but you're going to feel a lot better.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
I'm thinking of a number between 450 and 850. Know what it is? It's my credit score, and it happens to be 720. Do you know your credit score? Do you know what's in your credit report? You can find out right now at freecreditreport.com. How much easier could it get? Log on to freecreditreport.com. It's fast, free, and easy. That's freecreditreport.com. Offer applies with enrollment and triple advantage.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Glad you're listening. Up and down the left coast, inland to Sacramento. Coming up later this hour, we're going to talk about the situation of detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Emmy McLean from the Center for Constitutional Rights will join us, and we'll talk about a court ruling coming out of the D.C. Circuit, which blocked the administration's desire to move a detainee out of the United States, where some thought he might be tortured. This is an important step of an increasingly active judiciary entering into these important cases. And we'll get the details from Emmy McLean coming up in about half an hour. Larry Dohrs joins us now. He spells his last name D-O-H-R-S. He is with the U.S. Campaign for Burma, and he also serves as Vice President of New Ground Social Investments. Larry, thanks for talking with us today.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be on.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for your work and for the U.S. Campaign for Burma. Because over the past few weeks, I've had a great deal of interest in the issues related to the protests that have occurred, the crackdown by the military junta there. And it's so frustrating because the U.S. media really offers very little. And we have to rely on the Internet and on activist groups like yours to link up with the protesters, dissidents, and other activists inside Myanmar to help get their stories out and keep the world apprised of what's going on there.
Well, yeah, I appreciate it. And you know, the news coverage, I guess it's all relative, because for those of us who've worked for a long time on Burma, it felt as though there was a lot of news coverage, and we did appreciate it. But one thing that I have to say is as the crackdown has taken place since September 26th, the situation is much, much, much more severe than what generally gets reported. And the regime itself, you know, keeps saying not only that only 10 people were killed in the process, but that they used the greatest care and caution in dealing with the demonstrators. And those two things together ought to make it clear that this idea that only 10 people were killed is as ridiculous as the statement that they used ultimate caution in handling the protests. The situation is very, very severe right now inside Burma.
And on your homepage, for example, you have a grisly photograph of a dead, what appears to be a monk, based on the robe, floating face down in some sort of a body of water. And the headline reads, regime is burning bodies of protesters, including those still alive, in a crematorium. That's the first I've heard of this. Tell us a little more.
Well, yeah, and this, this has happened before. The way the regime deals with this sort of activity, you know, when they crack down, they shoot, and then they go and gather the bodies into trucks, and they drive them away, and they burn them. And that is something that they did in 1988 when millions of people took the streets, again, trying to rid themselves of the military dictators, and they destroy the evidence. So this is not a surprise, but what is a little different this time is in a timely manner, we're getting reports on an ongoing basis coming out of Burma of what's going on. So it's a little bit different in terms of our knowledge of it, but it's not any different in terms of the tactics that the military uses.
And Larry, I understood that after the crackdown a week ago Friday that they did stop internet traffic. Is it a total block, or are they simply intercepting messages unfriendly to the government?
Well, they went with a total block for several days, and now there's a partial unblocking of it, but it's only during the hours during which there is a curfew. So there's really still no opportunity for regular people to use any of the internet cafes, and to be frank, most people don't have can't afford internet access themselves. So the way most people have been able to access the internet up to this point has been through these internet cafes, and that is still, you know, fully blocked just by the fact that people would have to violate the curfew in order to try and find a place.
So, Larry, based on the reports that you've been able to piece together, how many people do you think have been killed in the military crackdown? And in particular, have you been able to confirm some of the reports that hundreds of monks were rounded up? Some of them were, their heads were smashed against walls, not by military uniform members, but by thugs who were under the watchful eye of members of the Burmese military. Are those stories true? And if so, what is the level of deaths that have occurred?
Well, it's going to be very difficult, and it's always going to be a matter of estimate. I would say at this point, based on the reports that I've been reading every day, that we're looking at least 200 to 400 deaths. And the raids on the monasteries are true. There's no question about it. There have been even Western reporters who've gone into empty monasteries afterwards to see bloody boot prints on the floor there, so obviously blood was shed in the raids, and it's really extraordinary for those of us, anybody who's ever been to Southeast Asia, for instance, even been to Thailand, where Buddhism is widely practiced, but they're not as they're really not as pious as they are in Burma. The idea of even being disrespectful to a monk is almost unthinkable, let alone committing acts of violence against them. Mm-hmm. So this is really sort of the world turned upside down, frankly, what's gone on in the last 2 weeks in Burma.
And those who are resisting this military government, what tactics, techniques, or methods are you aware of that they have shifted to since they can't march in the streets anymore?
Well, it's you know, it's a very, very difficult time. And one thing that I would really urge people to recognize is it was only desperation that brought people out into the streets. They knew that they were facing the potential of tremendous violence against them. And it was only that they were in such a desperate situation that they were willing to take that obvious risk. And now they've been cowed off the streets by an extraordinary level of violence, but none of the underlying desperation has been addressed. And so one way or the other, this is going to continue because the military hasn't addressed any of the underlying causes. But what people are doing at this point is some very passive resistance, people not going to work, turning off electricity during the time that the government news broadcast comes on between 8 and 8:15 p.m., sort of quiet, passive resistance as a way of staying involved but not going out in the street where they're liable to be grabbed, arrested, beaten, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Now, in his message at the United Nations 2 weeks ago, our president enunciated what he called the American people's, you know, deep opposition and concern about what's going on in Burma. Now, his comments preceded the crackdown by 3 days, and frankly, I think he overstated the level of concern by the average American. I think at that point, very few people were actually aware of the protests themselves, much less the underlying issues. Do you think the Bush administration has any leverage over the Burmese government, or is it simply that we have, you know, lost any moral authority that we had on human rights matters because of the way we've conducted the invasion and occupation of Iraq?
Well, I think on your last point, there is no question. As somebody who's been working on human rights issues for the last 20 years, the United States has lost a great deal of moral authority because of the treatment of detainees and on and on and on. And so I think there's really no question on that count.
Mm-hmm.
On the question of whether the U.S. has influence, direct influence is relatively low, and it's really only represented by the California-based oil company Chevron.
Yeah.
Indirect influence is still quite significant because we have a very engaged relationship with China, and it's China that's provided more than $1 billion in weapons to the Burmese generals, and it's China who has chosen to provide them with money and soft loans and all these sorts of things, knowing full well that the Burmese people have made every effort, really every effort, to try and free themselves from this ridiculous and incompetent regime. And so China has really chosen to interfere in Burmese affairs for the last 20 years. And then now when the U.S. is working at the U.N. Security Council level to get something done, and we greatly appreciate that, and the Burmese people directly greatly appreciate that, China stands in the way and says, no, we must not interfere in the internal affairs of this country, which is so hypocritical because China has been interfering in the internal affairs of this country for 20 years.
Mm-hmm. But on this particular issue, cracking down on dissent, they've got you know, fairly fresh memories of Tiananmen Square, and they would argue that that is their prerogative, as is Burma's, to clear the streets and bash the monks, etc.
Well, you know, again, these are very difficult images for Asians to deal with. To see monks treated in this way, monks are really highly respected individuals. You know, they truly take a vow of poverty, and you know, a monk in Burma owns nothing, you know, except his robe and a towel and his begging bowl. And everybody recognizes that. And so these images are very difficult for China. You know, they're put in a tough position. They're trying to present themselves to the world as, with the Beijing Olympics next year, as a responsible member of the world community. The pressure that they're getting over their support for the Sudanese government and its atrocities in Darfur, and now the Burmese military regime and its atrocities as well. You know, it is very significant pressure, and those who've been interviewing high-level Chinese leadership say that they're very, very concerned about their image. And as such, it really is a point of pressure. You know, your point about the Chinese behavior toward their own people notwithstanding.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and return. And in the next segment, I want to focus on Chevron and its role in Burma and the extent to which shareholders and other American activists might be able to cause Chevron to, express itself at minimum, if not to pull out of Burma in protest of these human rights violations. We're going to take a break and return. Larry Doors is with us from the U.S. Campaign for Burma. Their website, uscampaignforburma.org. More in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos.
One of the biggest benefits for us are the relationships that we establish with our customers. Our customers have said that they love coming to our place because we have great stuff and great prices.
The thing that makes us unique is the mix of things. It's a very eclectic mix. We've become a destination for a lot of people. They'll bring friends out. They'll do little mini tour buses and bring friends. So we really, really appreciate that. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. We have everything from French soaps to linens to wall hangings.
And it's gotten to the point where people think of us when they need a gift. It's not just a utilitarian purchase or frivolous, but they make us a regular stop when they need a gift.
We're open from 10 to 5 Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
This is Larry Levine of the local United Nations Association. Don't miss our International Film Festival November 9th, 10th, and 11th at the beautiful Golden State Theater in downtown Monterey. We will screen 12 outstanding documentary films from Sudan, Iran, Cuba, Bolivia, Lesotho, and other countries. Admission is just $5 per day, free admission for all students. For films and times, go to www.unamontereybay.org. That's unamontereybay.org.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Wednesday Hump Day Traffic. Let's give you the very latest. Well, you know what? Not a lot going on, to be honest with you. We've got a problem in Morgan Hill, southbound 101 after Cochran, right shoulder two-car crash. Santa Clara, south 101 between Great American Parkway and 880, slow traffic. On Highway 17 in both directions, northbound and southbound, absolutely nothing happening. Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1 after Morrissey Boulevard, we do have a disabled vehicle. It's in the center divide. Apparently, traffic backing up. It's pretty heavy as you approach the scene. CHP just arriving on the site there. Hopefully, they're going to move that vehicle off to the shoulder. Eastbound 25, a little bit slow and go out of Gilroy and Hollister. Southbound Highway 1, looking pretty good between Carmel, between Monterey and Carmel at this point. And this report is brought to you by Diet Pepsi Wild Cherry.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up about 10 minutes from now, Emmy McLean will join us from the Center for Constitutional Rights. We'll talk about a court decision regarding a detainee. Imagine someone within the sound of my voice has just pulled into a Chevron filling station, and you're ready to put that pump in your car and fill her up. Can I ask you to wait just 5 minutes? And you may want to shuffle off to a different gas station. Larry Doors is with us from the U.S. Campaign for Burma. And Chevron, which swallowed Texaco a few years ago, continues to do business in Burma, despite the sordid human rights record of the junta that rules that country. And there is no foreseeable end to that at the moment. And Chevron, like many others who have felt comfortable doing business with thug governments, recently echoed a comment. I have it here on Halliburton Watch, and this is something that Dick Cheney said back in 2000. He, of course, was working for Halliburton, which helped construct some of the pipelines in Myanmar. And he told Larry King, you know, you have to operate in some very difficult places, and oftentimes in countries that are governed in a manner that's not consistent with our principles here in the United States. But the world's not made up only of democracies. Now, that kind of a rationalization, Larry Doors, is what we hear from people like Chevron, who say, well, you know, this is constructive engagement, and we're providing jobs for Burmese, and, you know, on a net-net basis, it's okay. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, I find that pretty offensive. And I have to say, to be clear, Chevron's investment is a direct partnership with the military in Burma.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about not doing business in Burma as such. We're talking about going into a partnership with the Burmese military regime. And at the same time that Chevron has been in partnership with this group, the U.S. mission at the United Nations hosted a panel in February that was called State-Sanctioned Mass Rape in Sudan and Burma.
Mm.
So our own government recognizes the fact that Chevron's partners engage in state-sanctioned mass rape. But that's okay, I guess, as far as Chevron is concerned, because... Well, I'm not quite sure. If you go to their website, actually, it was very hard until just a few days ago to find anything where they would fess up to the fact of their operation in Burma. But now they have a little statement on there, and their statement talks about some development projects that they've done in the area of this pipeline. And the pipeline takes Burmese natural gas and pipes it over the mountains into mm-hmm. Thailand, where it's sold to the by electricity generator.
Larry, our phone line is breaking up badly, so real quickly, we're going to hang up and dial right back, okay?
All right, that sounds good.
Yeah, stand by for that. We only have a minute remaining, but it just was hard to hear him. And it is fascinating when you see the web of connections. That Dresser Industries, which was purchased by Halliburton when Dick Cheney was the CEO, helped build these pipelines. And as Larry pointed out, Chevron is not just doing business there, not just, you know, extracting oil. They are direct partners with the Burmese government. And that makes it even that more sordid. Now, Larry, lately, because of the obscene profits that American-based oil companies have been extracting from us, Chevron's been running these neat little greenwashing ads where they talk about conservation and how to conserve our and you know, really husband our resources. But they really refuse to directly address their relationship with the Burmese government.
Yes, and I apologize for the phone snafu, but, you know, it's a direct partnership. On their website, they talk about some small development projects in the area of the pipeline that constitute a fraction of 1% of the total value of the project, and a smaller fraction of 1% of the amount, the hundreds of millions and now totaling in the billions of dollars that they have paid direct to the Burmese military junta. And I want to spend 99.5% of my time talking about the effect of the money they give to the junta and not spend any significant amount of time talking about small development projects in a couple of villages in the area where the pipeline comes ashore.
Larry, I'm out of time, but I want
to... willing to do, and I think when they're not willing to face the truth, that's a message for the rest of us that there's something smelly underneath
it. Larry Doors, we'll talk again. uscampaignforburma.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Which man passed the test? This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The consensus seems to be that the key exchange in last night's Republican debate was between Rudy Giuliani and Mitt Romney.
I control taxes.
Sorry.
I brought taxes down by 17%. I led. He lagged.
It's a nice line, but it's baloney. Mayor, you got to check your facts.
And it was at that point that Romney revealed what he sees as the key to cutting taxes.
The best tool that a governor has and the best tool the president has had is a line of veto. And Mayor Giuliani took the line of veto that the president had all the way to the Supreme Court and took it away from the president of the United States. I think that was a mistake.
He accused Giuliani of killing the line item veto. Okay. Well, there's only one way to test whether the line item veto issue can make a man president, and that's what I call the French horn test. Roll it. Mitt Romney. He'll bring back the line item veto for America. Not bad, but then Giuliani explained that the reason he fought the line item veto was because when he was mayor, the president tried to use it to veto federal money for New York City.
If I had let President Clinton take $250 million away from the people of my city...
Whoa, I think I heard the magic word.
So I took President Clinton to court, and I beat him.
Maestro, cue those horns.
So I took President Clinton to court, and I beat him. And I don't think it's a bad idea to have a Republican presidential candidate who actually has beat President Clinton at something.
Rudy Giuliani. He didn't just cut taxes. He beat Clinton at something for America. I think the campaign's over. Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and hackers invade your business every day through email, instant messaging, web browsing, and your company's website. With no software to install and no per-user license fees, Barracuda Network Firewalls are easy to set up and affordable. Do what 50,000 other companies have done. Reclaim your network with a Barracuda Network Firewall. For a free evaluation unit, call Barracuda Networks, 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super green nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
I found a Sunday school program for my children, one that has helped them develop their own system of beliefs and has taught them ethics and justice.
My partner and I were brought up in different faiths. The Unitarian Universalists welcome us both and honor our roots.
With so much division in our country, I found a congregation where people with different beliefs could gather as one. Unitarian Universalists seek wisdom from all the world's religions.
We were so caught up in our careers. We needed a faith community to bring us back in touch with the important things in life. We joined the Unitarian Universalists.
Unitarian Universalists believe in respect, freedom, and justice for all people. Come visit our church in the Monterey Peninsula at 490 Aguajito Road at the top of Carmel Hill. Visit our website at uucmp.org or call 624-7404.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
Pacific Grove has invited Gilroy to make the trip south this Friday for a 7:15 pregame and a 7:30 kickoff.
We'll be right back.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
33 minutes after the hour, we're going to talk about detainees at Guantanamo Bay. I believe that the Bush administration should be subjected to impeachment is the way that they have treated captives at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere. And we don't even know the full story. There are hundreds of people at Guantanamo Bay, but we don't know the full body count at locations around the world, including Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan and some other places where the U.S. has parked detainees. There's an interesting ruling that came from the D.C. Circuit Court in the last 24 hours. Judge Gladys Kessler ruled in an injunction. She prohibited the planned transfer of a detainee from Guantanamo Bay to Tunisia, which has been criticized by American and international officials for human rights abuses, saying that the detainee, Mohamed Rahman, claimed that such a transfer would amount to a death sentence. The judge said it would be a profound miscarriage of justice if she allowed the government to send him to Tunisia. At that point, the damage would have been done, she wrote, adding that Mr. Rahman faced a 20-year sentence after a conviction at a terrorism trial the Tunisian government held while he has been in Guantanamo. For commentary, we turn to Emmy McLean, who is an attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York, and she has been working with the team dealing with these critical issues and the rights of detainees at Guantanamo and elsewhere. Emmy McLean, welcome to our program today.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Well, I really appreciate the work that you and others have done at the Center for Constitutional Rights. And I have your bio here. You've been helping coordinate the attorneys representing the hundreds of men. We're now down under 350 population at Guantanamo, and you also work on CCR's direct representation of a number of current detainees. And turning to the case that Judge Kessler has issued this injunction on, Mohamed Rahman, is this the first time that a court has intervened on behalf of a detainee in this manner?
This is the first time that a court has intervened on behalf of the detainee in this manner to prevent a transfer, and it's quite significant in part because of the detrimental effect of the Military Commissions Act, which was passed last year, which was intended to prevent detainees from being able to challenge many aspects of their detention, including issues related to transfer. And this is something that we're currently in the process of challenging in several different ways in the courts right now. But what Judge Kessler essentially did is said that this issue is so important and that the transfer of this individual back to Tunisia essentially amounts to a death sentence, and that the U.S. essentially knows that this amounts to a death sentence, and she needs to intervene to prevent this from happening before the courts have actually ruled on what the role of the courts is in this process and, you know, with regard to the treatment of detainees at Guantanamo and elsewhere.
And I can only imagine that the government, among other arguments, threw the standing argument in front of this judge, saying that based on the Military Commissions Act, which we call the Joe Stalin Detention, Interrogation, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006, that she really had no legal basis to rule on this defendant's behalf.
One of the things that's very profound about how the government has responded in this case and also in other cases where we and other attorneys have tried to prevent the transfer of individuals back to countries where it is known that they're going to be tortured or subjected to persecution, which is essentially in violation of both domestic and international law, is that the government has really not dealt with any of the facts of their cases. We have a client, Abdul Rauf Al-Qassim, who was being threatened twice with being transferred back to Libya. The U.S. government was about to put him on a plane to Libya on two occasions, and only through last-minute interventions, which were not successful in the courts but allowed us a very brief stay. He was not transferred back to Libya and is still in Guantanamo. There's the facts of his case make it absolutely certain that he would be subjected to torture if he were transferred to Libya. The government did not deal with any of the facts of his individual case. They didn't deal with any of the facts of what treatment in Libyan jails is like. They didn't deal with the fact that the U.S. has been wholly critical of the dictatorial regime of Gaddafi in Libya. They essentially said the courts have no right to intervene in these matters. They have no right to oversee the treatment of detainees, prisoners at Guantanamo. They have no right to prevent a transfer because of the Military Commissions Act and because the circuit court earlier this year ruled that the detainees essentially have no rights.
Yeah.
So this is something that, of course, we're challenging, but it is deeply problematic when these transfers are being allowed to go on and the government is not even looking at the facts of these individuals' cases, and they're being subjected to quite brutal treatment, some of those people who have been returned to countries that have brutal human rights regimes.
We're talking with Emmy McLean from the Center for Constitutional Rights. Their website is ccr-ny.org, CCR, Center for Constitutional Rights. That's ccr-ny.org. Emmy, I'm an amateur at this, and as I read the news accounts, I have some mild optimism that the Supreme Court, which has included a Guantanamo case in its fall term, and which it was very unusual, the way it was added to the docket after first being excluded at the very last minute. Last spring, as I recall, the court agreed to hear this case, and now it's up for review during this fall term. My optimism is tempered by the knowledge that many of the people, including the two newest justices, are not too inclined to rule in favor of the detainees, and that it was Justice O'Connor who was a powerful voice, if I remember correctly, in the Hamdi and Hamdan rulings.
Yeah, we have mild optimism as well. I'll say the only slight adjustment that I'd make to your statement is it was even beyond the last minute that the court intervened and said that they would hear this case. They initially denied certiorari and so refused to consider the ruling of the lower court at that time and issued some very unconventional statements explaining their decision, which almost never happens. But then after that, a couple months after that, and there were some intervening events where essentially some whistleblowers came out and were talking about the gross abuse of justice, miscarriage of justice that exists within the combatant status review tribunals, these really farcical kangaroo processes that happen at Guantanamo, and the court, maybe influenced by that, maybe influenced by other events, reversed, which seems to have not happened in the past 60 years. So it's pretty profound, and it leaves us mildly optimistic as well. But you never know until something
yep.
actually happens, of course, until there's a decision that's made.
Right. If you know, tell us a little bit more about Judge Gladys Kessler, because I regard this as a courageous ruling in the current climate, and it's not her first, because last week she issued an order related to a detainee held by Americans in Afghanistan and said that he could not be moved without giving 30 days' notice to his attorney. Is this unusual for Judge Kessler? Has she been so outspoken and progressive from my point of view? And how often is she overturned by the higher courts?
I would definitely not classify Judge Kessler as someone who is a radical judge, but she is, you know, one of a number of people who has seen a lot of these cases and has definitely recognized, it seems, over and over again, some of the problems that have existed at Guantanamo and the excessive extension of power that the administration has attempted to utilize with regard to the Guantanamo detainees. And one of her most quite powerful ruling that she made earlier came in response to something that was generally relatively minor, or could be seen as relatively minor. It was a case of an individual who the government was trying to prevent lawyers from seeing him and was putting roadblock in front of roadblock in front of roadblock to the attorneys who are trying to get down to a first visit, and this happens over and over again. There is not a single visit with a detainee that happens without momentous and significant pressure from attorneys, you know, fighting all kinds of challenges. And she stepped in, really cutting down all of the government's arguments with quite a powerful ruling describing the significant constraints that this individual had and that any individual at Guantanamo has to try to present their case, their argument, their story without the access to an attorney. And she stated at the end of her ruling that it is often said that justice delayed is justice denied. Nothing could be closer to the truth with regard to the Guantanamo detainees.
Mm-hmm. That's very powerful. We're talking with Emmy McLean from the Center for Constitutional Rights. She's an attorney there. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show, and lines are open if you want to talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And Emmy, coming back to the Supreme Court here just for a moment, one of the things that tempers any optimism we have about the Guantanamo case that is under review right now is the ruling that was announced on Tuesday that the court has declined to hear the appeal of Khalid El-Masri. And El-Masri is a German whose case is pretty well known. He was detained while he was on vacation in Macedonia, and then we rendered him using that fleet of private jets. We sent him to Afghanistan, where he was held for 5 months in a secret prison. He says he was tortured there, and frankly, I believe him. And he also reports that he was then taken to Albania and set free, as I recall, on a dirt road late on a Saturday night, which is just a terrible end to a terrible episode. It just strikes me that the court is, again, giving great deference to the Bush administration and buying the argument that they would reveal too many state secrets if they actually permitted this man to have his day in court. And that is a dodge that they have used in the NSA cases. They've used it with Sibel Edmonds, the former translator at the FBI. And they've used that more than any administration in American history.
Yeah, the case of Khalid El-Masri is a really tragic case, and the ending that we saw within the court system, at least, is a really tragic ending. It is essentially an admission by the Supreme Court statement by the Supreme Court that they cannot intervene and that no courts within the United States can intervene when the U.S. government takes someone traveling freely, completely legally, transfers him to a secret prison in another country and holds him, detains him, tortures him, does not allow him access to counsel, the Red Cross, his own government, or anyone or anything else, and then drops him off to find his way back home, and that there's no legal remedy that is available to this person when that happens to him on the authority of the United States government. And we are in a very desperate place if that's where we are and that's how our administration can treat, our government, our country can treat individuals.
And I don't know this for a fact, but El-Masri has the same surname as a guy that we have named as a leader of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And if this was simply, you know, a computer glitch where the name El-Masri came up and they said, grab him, that's just another sad indication of the police state tactics that our government is using and not even using correctly.
This is, you know, one of the great tragedies of our time and of the last, you know, 6 years, and the current war on terror is so much seems to be about mistaken intelligence, and that is the presumption about what happened with El-Masri. Obviously, it's what we know to be going on with regard to the situation in Iraq, which is just getting more and more and more desperate. It's the situation with many of the Guantanamo detainees. It's clear when you speak to people that many of them are there because of the bounties that the U.S. was offering.
Sure. The Uyghurs in particular appeared to be just lost souls who fell into a bounty hunter's trap, and it was very difficult for them to get extricated. We've got to take a break and return in just a moment. We'll talk more with Emmy McLean, an attorney at the Center for Constitutional Rights. Lines are open if you'd like to join us. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And my email's working today, usually is, peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Grass-fed versus grain-fed. What you don't know about the meat you are eating is hurting you. U.S. livestock farming has changed drastically over the last generation, creating poisons for our land, our bodies, and the animals themselves. Join healthy, slow-food pioneer Glenn Brooks and pasture farming expert John Wood every Saturday at 10 a.m. for Food is Medicine, and find out how you can eat healthier and taste your food while helping the environment. Visits from regional chefs and recipes included right here on KRXA 540.
I'm Peter B. Collins, that's my man Keb Moe, and the Old Rascals song, People Got to Be Free. We're talking with Emmy McLean. She's at the Center for Constitutional Rights, an attorney on the Guantanamo Global Justice Initiative. And Emmy, I was just looking a little closer at your bio, and it talks about your work on the NSA, challenging the government's refusal to disclose information about the NSA's warrantless surveillance of Guantanamo attorneys. And I just wanted to ask you a pointed question about that. Are you aware that there's an attorney in Oakland, John Eisenberg, who has identified two of his clients, and he says that they have proof that they were eavesdropped, monitored, or surveilled, and that this could be a break in this brick wall that the government has erected, that nobody can sue them over the NSA program because nobody can prove that they were actually subjected to it. Do your clients have any proof that they were wiretapped or otherwise illegally monitored?
None of our clients have concrete proof. There's definitely some suspicion and some grounds for suspicion for some of the clients, I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
There's one other case that I'm aware of, and I don't know the name of the attorney, so I'm not sure if it's John Eisenberg. I don't think it is. The Al Haramein organization.
He represents the attorneys for Al Haramein. Wendell.
That's the one case where there actually is apparently some evidence of surveillance
Yeah, they say that
it,
apparently somebody forwarded an email that had the proof in it, and the FBI and others tried to scrub all evidence from that case, but somebody forwarded it offshore, and so there is this proof they claim they have.
That seems to be the case, and it definitely puts them in a different position. It provides a stronger argument for standing than I think exists in some other cases, although we think that we have a strong argument for standing in our case. And there's two cases that we have related to the warrantless surveillance program. One is the case that you just described, Wilner versus NSA, which is trying to uncover information about the surveillance of individual attorneys, and a case in San Francisco now, CCR v. Bush, which is challenging the warrantless surveillance program overall.
Yeah, that's before Judge Vaughn Walker, and he's a pretty good judge. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Emmy, I wanted to turn to a report that CCR published in August called Guantanamo's Refugees Trapped by Inaction. And I wanted to focus for a moment on the cases of individuals who are prepared to be freed, but they are concerned about being repatriated to their home countries where they expect to be tortured, jailed, or perhaps murdered. And when I first heard this, I thought it was a phony excuse from the Bush administration about why they were continuing to hold people whose cases didn't even pass muster with these kangaroo courts, the military commissions, and the hearing banks that have been set up. Tell me a little bit about this, and is there a real issue about some of these individuals?
There is a very real issue here. I should say that it is also a bit of a phony excuse. The government's argument is that there are attorneys who are intervening and preventing people from being transferred, and this is the reason why people can't be transferred. And there's a large number of people, who have been officially cleared for release by the government who could be returned to their home countries and who have not been repatriated.
And what is that number, roughly?
Well, it's the number that we have is 80, but
okay.
I should say that what cleared for release is a term that is also a made-up term that doesn't mean all that much.
Right.
You've had about 60 people who've been released this year, and less than a third of them have actually been cleared for release. So there's a large number of people who are at Guantanamo who, even by the government's own standards, which none of us, I think, should recognize as legitimate, should be released and cannot be and have not been released.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a small category of people, about 50 people, who cannot be returned to their home countries. This does not mean that they can't be released. It just means that they can't be returned to Libya, Uzbekistan, China, or their countries which they had fled sometimes many years, decades earlier,
mm-hmm.
Because if they were returned, they'd be tortured or persecuted. And by law, by domestic and international law, we cannot transfer them to those countries. That doesn't mean they can't be freed.
But, Emmy, I'm operating here kind of in a free thought way here, so forgive me if my stream of consciousness doesn't match the law and the legal proceedings. But these are innocent people who were rounded up, subjected to indefinite detainment at Guantanamo, and their rights were sharply curtailed or denied. And then somehow they manage to prove that they are innocent. They are cleared for release, and the catch-22 kicks in. Oh, we can't send you back to the nation that you were born in. Well, don't we have resources, and can't we buy them a plane ticket to a Club Med somewhere and let them decide where they want to go instead of, arbitrarily holding them?
Well, what we should be doing, what the United States should be doing, is accepting some of these people as refugees ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Within the United States, people that we have wrongly detained, treated brutally over 6 years for many of them, uprooted from lives that they were living, often as refugees in countries, protecting themselves from countries which they fled, and also doing more advocacy with other countries in the European Union and elsewhere to accept these people as refugees. It's not that they want to stay in Guantanamo for the rest of their lives. They're ready to be released. They've been ready to be released for 6 years. It's just a question of finding a country where they can be released and live in safety, which is mm-hmm. all that they want.
How about Cuba? It's right it's right down the block.
You know our relationship with Cuba.
I'm sorry. You can tell I'm a little frustrated and trying to think outside the box.
And I appreciate the frustration. It's something I think that we all feel, or more of us should feel.
Yeah. Well, Emmy, thank you very much for joining us today on short notice. We had planned to be talking about the Chrysler UAW labor problems, but they resolved them about half an hour.
Oh, really? I hadn't even heard.
Yeah, there's a settlement that was reached, and that's why we reached out to you, and I'm really glad you were available. It was great to talk with you, and we'll do it again.
thanks so much for calling, and it was great to be on the show.
Emmy McLean from the Center for Constitutional Rights, fighting the Bush administration to, well, regain our rights by protecting those of the detainees at Guantanamo Bay and other murky locations around the world. That sets us up. The Free Speech Zone is coming up next. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Grab a line. You can be first, coming up right after the top of the hour. It's toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 1-888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show is produced by Katrina Rill, and I'm glad. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A strike against Chrysler was over almost as soon as it began today, just hours after workers walked off the job. The company and the United Auto Workers Union reached a tentative agreement. CBS News correspondent Terry Okita reports from Detroit.
The two sides were battling it out over health care concessions, outsourcing, increased job security, and how much Chrysler would pay into a company-funded, union-run trust for retirees. Chrysler lost $2 billion in the first 3 months of the year. In August, Cerberus Capital Management bought a majority share of the company and has reportedly been looking for ways to streamline and regain profitability.
Today, a deal with General Motors was ratified by the UAW membership. Still to come, contract talks at Ford. Yet another school shooting. It happened today at Success Tech Academy, an alternative high school in Cleveland. CBS News correspondent Dean Reynolds has the story.
A 14-year-old freshman who had been suspended just yesterday for fighting had come back shooting.
When he got suspended, he said, "I got something for y'all." And I thought he was just playing, because like he said all the time, but I see that he was for real.
He just came back and started shooting at people. He would just shoot at anybody who was in the hallway, so everybody just ran down the hallway.
What was going through your mind?
That I was about to get shot. I thought I was going to die.
Students and parents described the gunman, dressed all in black today, as troubled.
It could have been avoided because there were warning signs.
Others said bullets that narrowly missed them struck one of their teachers.
Cleveland Mayor Frank Jackson says two adults and three teenagers were wounded before the boy, who had at least two guns, killed himself. Virginia Tech discovered today that some bugs need to be worked out of its new emergency alert system. In a test, text messages, voicemails, emails, and instant messages were sent to more than 18,000 people who'd signed up for the service, but hundreds say they never received the alert. A new approach to cracking down on illegal immigration was suspended today when a federal judge issued an injunction against the Bush administration's No Match program. CBS News reporter Stephanie Labadakis explains.
This is not the final word, but federal judge Charles Breyer suggested that the administration's plan would trigger mayhem in the workplace. 140,000 employers would have to explain why the Social Security numbers of 8 million workers do not match government records. With 90 days to resolve the problem, business and labor groups warned the employees would simply be fired, with lawful workers harmed along with undocumented ones, and the judge has agreed.
The Justice Department says it strongly disagrees with Judge Breyer's decision. It's not the heat, it's the humidity. A study published in the journal Nature says global warming has increased the amount of moisture in the air by 2.2% in less than three decades. That adds to the heat stress for humans. Some stress for investors today. The Dow lost 85 points, closing at 14,078, but the Nasdaq gained 7 points. This is CBS News.
When's the best time to save on service for your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Right now. Hurry to your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership during the Right Now Factory Authorized Service Event. Buy four Michelin or BF Goodrich tires and get a $50 gas card on us. That's a $50 gas card on us. And there's more. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price, guaranteed. That's two great ways to save on the tires recommended for your vehicle. You'll also find fantastic savings on Motorcraft brakes, batteries, maintenance packages, and more. Plus, our Ford-trained experts use only genuine Ford parts. Right place, right prices, right now. Hurry, the Right Now factory-authorized service event ends soon. Visit your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership right now.
Call 1-877-310-3673 or see participating dealer through 113-07.
Even when families have medical coverage, a study finds children are getting shortchanged. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato reports.
6 in 10 American kids don't get proper preventive care. 7 in 10 don't have their weight measured at annual checkups. 81% of seriously ill infants with fevers aren't properly tested. Overall, the first comprehensive study of children's health care quality shows
children in the United States receive only 46% of the care that they should be getting.
University of Washington researcher Dr. Rita Mangione-Smith says in this New England Journal of Medicine study,
the majority of these children were from white, middle to upper middle class families with private health insurance.
So as bad as it is for them, it's almost surely worse for poor minority kids. A journal editorial calls the findings shocking. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
One pediatrician says doctors got an F because they provided the appropriate outpatient care less than half the time. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Look, it's vitamin A.
Vitamins and minerals of Centrum Silver, I've got a big announcement. We've been reformulated!
Yeah! I fear change.
Relax, Zinc. Centrum Silver still helps protect the health of people over 50. And now we're better balanced to work together. Like more vitamin C and E to support natural cell repair.
C, E, I love this antioxidant!
New age-adjusted Centrum Silver, working better together.
From A to Zinc.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
And don't just call anytime. Call right now. It's the Free Speech Zone, your right to be heard on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-573-8372-888-5-PETER-B. My all-time favorite songs from the art rock band called Genesis. They're on a reunion tour, what we call an annuity tour. Yeah, they got exes to pay. And I caught the show in San Jose last night at a corporate arena that HP has rented the naming rights to. What a fabulous show. I had to leave after 2.5 hours so that I could, get to sleep and function as a normal human being. But wow. I last saw those guys about 1988 or 89, and they haven't lost the beat. They haven't lost a lick. And only Phil Collins has lost his hair, but that happened to me too, so I don't begrudge him that. They put on a great show, and I really enjoyed it. Played a lot of the old gems because, of course, some of us know that band going back to the 1970s when Peter Gabriel was the lead singer. and they did these expansive and somewhat pretentious thematic pieces. Well, last night they didn't disappoint. They trotted out some of the old stuff, including Home by the Sea, the full 10 or 11-minute version, and I really enjoyed it. Want to get down to issues here, and I want to talk with you about what's on your mind. Our phone lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. No guests are scheduled this hour, so it's just you and me, and I welcome your comments on any issue. And if you disagree with me, you can bring it on. We've got somebody who thinks I'm crazy who will be our first caller here in just a moment, and I'm looking forward to hearing why. But first up, just a couple of items for you to chew on and comment on. As I mentioned to our last guest, Emmy McLean, we had planned to talk between 4:30 and 5 Pacific, the last half hour, about the settlement in the United Auto Workers strike against Chrysler. But as we were starting the show today, our guest backed out because he said, I think there's an agreement coming down, and I can't talk to you about it until I know about it, and I need to go over to Chrysler's and find out. In Detroit, they refer to it as Chrysler's, because it was once a family business. It was then sold to the Germans of Daimler-Benz, and Daimler unloaded it earlier this year, begging a hedge fund to take it off their hands, which did occur. And essentially, the Germans paid to get rid of the Chrysler Corporation. There are about 48,000 American workers left at Chrysler, and their strike only lasted about 6 hours. Don't have the details on the settlement, but the short length of those negotiations is certainly encouraging. Here's an email that came in from Catherine. She writes, I don't usually write or call in, but after listening to some of the comments of your guest earlier today, I felt I had to offer my two cents. And she's referring to Richard Maxwell, who was offering some ideas and views on the communications talents and strategies of Democratic presidential candidates. Catherine goes on, to elect someone to arguably the highest and most powerful office in the world based on their political prowess for game playing and campaign strategy, as opposed to their abilities, determination, intelligence, and vision, is irresponsible and foolish. This isn't high school or casting for a Hollywood blockbuster. I believe that the very future of our country and of the world is resting on whoever holds the reins next year. Electing, and she spelled reins right. Oh, I like that, Catherine. I believe that the very future of our country... I'm sorry, I already read that line. I got so excited about her spelling. Electing someone based on some screenplay notion of human value or visceral appeal is less than shallow and is, in fact, exactly the mindset that has placed us in this mess. Anyone who doesn't think Kucinich is passionate hasn't listened to him speak on issues. More protein, please. Enough with the focus group approach to democracy. And Catherine adds, P.S., keep up the good work. I love your show. Well, Catherine, the feeling is mutual because you're smart, you make a good point, and you can spell. I really like that. Got some other items I'll pass along to you, interspersed between the calls, but let's get right down to business here in the Free Speech Zone. Jim in Sacramento, you're up first. Go right ahead, sir.
Hello, Peter B.
Hi, Jim.
I'm calling about the lawyer guest that you had on and why you didn't confront her on this issue.
All right.
She said that... It's more or less our duty to release these people that can't be released into their own countries because they'll be killed or tortured,
mm-hmm.
to release them here.
Right.
Now, doesn't that seem a little odd?
No. I think that these are innocent people who were wrongfully detained, incarcerated by the United States in one of the worst prisons in the world. They were denied legal counsel. They were denied access or communication with their families, some of them for as long as 5 years, and they have managed to prove their innocence. And why wouldn't we take them in the United States? I would welcome them in my hometown. I would welcome them in the house next door. I might even let them spend the night with me when they first arrive.
You do have a death wish. No. Most of these people were caught on the battlefield.
Jim,
these are terrorists.
Jim,
you don't release terrorists freely into the country.
Jim, you're not listening.
It's crazy.
These are not terrorists. These are innocent.
They are terrorists.
How do you know that? You're basing that on the assertions of Dick Cheney and John Ashcroft. What?
if they made it to Guantanamo Bay, they were most likely caught on a battlefield.
Jim.
That means
Jim,
they're against the United States.
Jim, that's
now,
wrong.
To release them here is insane.
No, Jim, you're insane. You're buying the BS of the Bush administration. These are not people who were on the battlefield. These are people who were sold into bounty and delivered to the U.S. Do you know the case of the Uyghurs?
No.
The Uyghurs are a group, it's spelled U-I-G-H-E-U-R-S or something like that. This is a very small ethnic group from a remote region of China. And they are persecuted by the Chinese government. There were about half a dozen of them who were traveling in Afghanistan at the time that we invaded in the fall of, the winter of 2001-2002. All right? They were sold into the U.S. custody for $10,000 a head. They were not terrorists in any way, shape, or form. They were innocent people who were caught up in our struggle in Afghanistan. They are not terrorists, and they have been cleared by the very people who you tend to believe when they say only the really bad people who hate the United States go to Guantanamo Bay.
Well, what, if that was the case, why wouldn't, if they're Chinese, you say, why wouldn't China take them back?
You missed what I said. They are a small ethnic group that has been persecuted by the Chinese government.
But we don't owe them a freedom.
Yes, we do. We took five years of their lives and denied them basic constitutional and civil liberties.
Oh, man. Liberals are, I've really come to the conclusion that somebody is right when they say liberalism is a mental disorder.
Thank you, Jim.
I'm crazy!
I'm a crazy liberal because I think that innocent people who've been really swept up in this and had their lives taken away from them by our government deserve another chance, including coming to the United States. And when you're out there without care. Jim, I'm glad you're listening, and I hope you'll continue to do so. There may be hope someday that you'll actually hear what we're talking about and understand the distinction here. No, I would not invite Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to move in next door to me. But the Uyghurs I described? Yes, I would. I definitely would. Billy Sunshine is joining us here. Welcome. Thanks for calling today, Billy.
That was a fun phone call.
Yes, it was.
it illustrates something that's just important, and that is that the authoritarian type of personality believes what it's told.
Yes, indeed.
And you know, I'm funny. I like to be, I don't like to blow my own horn. Oh, well, that's not true. I like to be self-deprecating, though. So I like make fun of myself all the time. And what I don't realize is that those authoritarian people actually think that what I say is true when I'm making fun of myself.
Yeah.
Jeez.
The irony is lost on some individuals, and also just basic information there. Jim could not process that these are innocent people. The fact that they're at Guantanamo is all he needs to know.
It's what I call knee-jerk cruelty. Their first reaction is just sort of mean-spirited and not to consider that there might be a human being in there somewhere.
Yeah. Hey, Billy, I'm really glad you called because I know you call other programs, and I'm not jealous or, territorial. But last night I was driving to San Jose to see the Genesis concert, and I was listening to KGO, catching traffic reports, and there was Gene Burns talking about my friend Billy and saying that Billy from Capitola had called the Ron Owens program today with an innovative idea on how to deal with the opium poppy production that has exceeded pre-war levels in Afghanistan and is the largest single source of cash revenue in that country now. And
mostly to the Taliban.
Yep. And Gene Burns was praising your point and saying that Ron Owens had dissed you and dismissed you when you suggested, and what Gene didn't get to in his long-winded approach before I got to the concert, is exactly what you suggested. So can you tell me what it was?
Yes. The idea is that we purchase as opposed to destroy the opium crop.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the things we accomplish are, first of all, the farmers whose crop is bought by us instead of destroyed gets to feed his children, which is really important in life in general.
Yeah.
We don't make a enemy. What we also deny the Taliban their favorite way of making money these days.
Mm-hmm.
we also get to now control, because 92% of all the heroin in the world is grown there. For some reason, it doesn't grow well anyplace else.
Yeah, true.
So now we have an incredibly cheap way of making the morphine and the heroin, both, to distribute both to the poor countries who can't get it. You'd be surprised what happens in hospitals around the world.
Right.
And we can also undercut the drug sales. In other words, something that's illegal costs a lot more. The cheapest thing in the world, by the way, will be buying the farmers' crop. Mm-hmm. That's 1% of the 100% that eventually gets paid for on the street.
Right. Well, I think it's a brilliant idea, and it's something that we should move to implement, because we do need to, you know, maintain support for those farmers in Afghanistan. And we've seen in trying to interdict crops and use herbicides in other countries that it doesn't work, and that they will find ways around us, or they'll just move away from the areas that we're conducting the aerial bombing on. And so I think this is great. I got to run to a break here, but I want to see what other listeners have to say. And, Billy, when I talked to you earlier today, you told me you got to see the Richard Stockton Planet Cruise comedy debut last week.
Oh, yeah, I did. It was great. It was funny. First of all, it was sold out.
Excellent.
And you know, we ran the ads here locally, so I like to think we helped.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny. They did all sorts of things, music, comedy. It was weird as hell, which, of course, is all what Santa Cruz is all about.
Right.
And they're going to do it, like, once a month.
The first Friday. In December, if they're still running, I'll be showing up on the first Friday, yeah.
And I guess part of your act will be doing things like calling a rock and roll act art rock. Boy, is that pretentious.
I'll be working on it. I've got time. Thanks, Billy. All right, more of your calls coming up next. Tell me what you think about Billy's idea that we should buy the poppy crop out of Afghanistan, synthesize it into morphine, and use it for medicinal purposes. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if you think I'm crazy to invite Gitmo releasees to the United States, get on the line right now. I'd like to hear from you. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ah!
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way Carmel's only bookstore and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Hello, everybody. Let's take a look at traffic as you folks make your way home. It is it's Wednesday, and thank goodness for that. Let's take a little look at what's going on right now. It is in, as our traffic page clears up here, we're going to take a look at Salinas, Old Stage Road at Old Natividad. We have a two-car crash, one vehicle into a ditch, minor injuries being reported there. I can tell you that we do have fire department crews, CHP on scene, as you might imagine. King City Wild Horse Road. Right at 101, we have a big wreck and a car involved in a crash. CHP is on the way to the scene there as well. No problems reported on Highway 17. Also want to take a look at a little advisory as far as road work is concerned. Northbound 1 at Emmeline, that's the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp in Santa Cruz. It is closed until the summer of 2008. And that's a look at traffic at KXA.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and we continue to take your calls in the free speech zone. Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And for our buddy Jim in Sacramento, who thinks I'm crazy, hey, Jim, if you give us a call back, Katrina wants to pass along a link to you of a story from Mother Jones Magazine about an innocent man who went to Guantanamo Bay. It's a very powerful story, and my goal is just to open your mind an inch or two to understand what it means to be innocent and thrown into a supermax prison like Guantanamo, where your basic legal rights are denied. And that's why I do feel comfortable saying that, yes, these innocent people who have been cleared for release and can't go back to their native lands should be offered asylum in the United States of America. And yes, I would invite and welcome them to my own community, not just, you know, somebody else's backyard. 888-5-PETER-B. Jim, give us a call back. Others can join the conversation here. And just before we take another call, this news item just in. A federal judge in San Francisco has barred the Bush administration from threatening to prosecute businesses for knowingly employing illegal immigrants if they fail to fire workers whose Social Security numbers don't match government records. Charles Breyer, a U.S. district judge and the brother of Stephen Breyer on the U.S. Supreme Court, issued a nationwide preliminary injunction barring the government from enforcing the so-called no-match rule, which was scheduled to take effect last month but was blocked by a temporary restraining order. Today's order remains in effect until a suit by labor unions challenging the rule goes to trial sometime next year or a higher court intervenes. That's a very interesting development. Let's get back to your calls here, 888-5-PETER-B, and let's see, line three is Sandra in Sacramento. Hello, Sandra.
Hey, Peter. You know, I had something else to talk about, but I'm, like, sort of stupefied and stunned by that conversation you had with that guy talking about Gitmo. The thing is that I didn't realize that they could justify having that prison there, but I guess that was an example, because it's just astounding that he thinks that it's okay because they're all terrorists. They cannot be that simple. Please tell me that this is not real.
Well, I just have to let Jim's comments speak for themselves.
Well, I appreciate you engaging, and it's helpful, but it's also really frightening to me because now I can begin to understand how we can evolve into this sort of quasi-police state. I don't know. I'm just sort of... Like I said, I'm stunned. Really just sort of blown away. But actually, my main reason for calling was, what do you think about Bush really sort of almost begging to get protection for these telecom companies?
Well, first of all, from my reading of the Democratic proposals to legalize the illegal spying program on Americans and others by the NSA, The one strong issue that the Democrats have carved out is that they don't want to give retroactive immunity to the companies that helped the government impose these illegal surveillance programs.
Well, no, because I think, you know, one of the only good things about this country now is that we do have a Bill of Rights. Otherwise, it really isn't too much happening here. So,
well, but they're giving away major portions of the Bill of Rights, including the Fourth Amendment requirement for probable cause before a warrant can be issued or a wiretap can be enabled.
Right. Not only that, but can you imagine what corporations can do with the data they can collect from your average citizen / consumer? I mean, it's endless what this can open up, and I'm finding it really, like, disturbing. And I'm just wondering, what can we do besides phone up a congressperson?
Well, we have to keep fighting, and we have to keep our elected officials aware that we not only know about these issues, but we care deeply. And if they don't vote the right way, we're not going to vote their way next November. We've got to really play hardball here and let them know how important this is to us. I got to run to a break. Thanks for your call, Sandra. Great to hear from you in Sacramento, listening to 1240 Talk City. More of your calls next. I've got lines open, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. The Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
On October 20th and 21st at the Monterey County Fairgrounds, the Monterey Music Summit, an environmentally and politically progressive interactive arts festival featuring
Spearhead,
Michael Parente and Spearhead, The Roots, G-Love and Special Sauce, Cake,
Ozo Motley,
Randy Carlyle, and more. Over 25 performances on three stages, offering everything from regional favorites to international icons of pop, rock, folk, and world music. Tickets are on sale now at MontereyMusicSummit.com.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a bottle of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. I'll have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Juan specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
While it lasts, this land is your land, and the Bill of Rights is all yours.
As I was walking over the North Highway, I saw above me an endless skyway. I saw below me a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. I roamed and rambled and followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond desert. And all around me, a voice was calling. Yeah, this land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. California, New York Island, the River Forest, the Golden Waters. Yeah, this land was made for you.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Lines open for you. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. That's a rockin' version of This Land Is Your Land. It's done by Everclear. And just the other night at the Mill Valley Film Festival, I attended the screening of a powerful new film. And for people who survived the Vietnam protests or served in Vietnam and survived that, this is an interesting look at the 1968 Democratic Convention in Chicago, and the film is called The Chicago Ten, and it causes people who remember the history to scratch their heads, because originally there were eight defendants, and then Bobby Seale was severed from the rest by Judge Hoffman, and so ultimately it was the Chicago Eight or the Chicago Seven, but the filmmakers decided to call it The Chicago Ten by including Seale and the two attorneys, Leonard Weinglass and William Kunstler, who were sentenced to long jail terms for contempt by Judge Hoffman. And it's a very interesting film because they had a challenge there in that there was no recording, either audio, video, or film, of the court proceedings, the trial of these yippies and other protesters. And they did have, of course, a lot of the news footage, historical footage, of the protests, the attempts to march, the riots with the police, caused by the police in many cases, and some great footage of Boss Daley. What they did is to improvise the courtroom coverage is they shifted to animation sequences with voiceovers of people impersonating the original characters. And while I was put off by the animation part initially, I got used to it, and it really was riveting, and it took me back to that time. And the strength and the passion of the protest movement. And when I look at us in America today, besieged by another, awful war and an extended occupation, an administration that, runs roughshod over the interests of the American people, our civil liberties and civil rights, it's just a powerful reminder of where we could be today if we were more assertive and less anesthetized by the media and by our creature comforts. And so if you have a chance to see that, the Chicago 10, I recommend it to you. 888-5, Peter B. Up next, we've got Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Welcome, Joe. You're on the air.
Yes, there are other radio shows I call. I Am a Tramp,
deal with it, Peter.
Well, you know, there's some radio people who are in denial that people like you even listen to other programs or know how to operate your radio and that there are other signals available to you. But I'm a realist.
Okay, that's good to hear. Yeah, talking about realism or maybe idealism, your way of looking at it. You know, yesterday's Republican presidential debate, surprise, surprise, 8 of the 9 apparently would not seek congressional approval before attacking Iran. And what was it, Ron Paul was scolding the other 8, asking these jackasses, you guys, have you ever read the Constitution? Have you ever cracked open the book or the document? Whatever. And, you know, and the pathetic thing about it is, Ron Paul, he could, you know, not only could he be given that speech to the other guys running for president, he could be, on the Republican side, he could be giving that speech to Hillary Clinton.
Yep.
He could be giving that speech to all the jackasses who voted for the Kyle Lieberman Amendment,
right,
which is, well, you might as well call it the Bomb Iran Act of 2007. Well, because we're the United States, we can bomb whoever we want for whatever reason. Just because we can.
All right, Joe, you've provoked me, and unlike Dick Cheney, you know, you say bomb Iran, and I just have to play this song.
Bomb, 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 bomb Iran. Bomb, 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 bomb Iran.
There's one listener who hates it when I play the whole thing, so I'll fade it right now. Anyway, Joe, go ahead.
Yes, and the thing is, yes, Mario Cuomo was going on about the fact that Hillary Clinton and these other Democrats, and Mario Cuomo put it really good himself when he was on MSNBC 1 or 2 weeks ago, the fact that Congress has given up their right and their obligation to declare war instead of just handing it off to the president.
Yeah.
And they did that 35 years ago during the Vietnam era when they came up with the War Powers Act.
Mm-hmm.
That was basically Congress back then handing it off to the president, because Congress back then didn't really want to deal with it. It is in the Constitution. It's supposed to be Congress that declares war, not the president. This
oh,
is not
Joe,
to be dictatorship.
You know what Bush said about the Constitution? It's just a goddamn piece of paper.
Did you tell me not to say that word?
That one's legal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't on the Carlin list, so we're allowed to say it.
Okay, thank you.
And it was a quote from an alleged political leader. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join us, and by the way, I do need some advice from you. And I was going to ask Joe, but he rang off in a hurry there. I did capture part of the Republican debate on my TiVo last night, the debate from Detroit. Tell me whether you think I'd actually watch it or just delete it. Okay? If you have advice for me, I welcome that. 888-5 Peter B. Now, here's an interesting item. Hillary Clinton, about a week ago, proposed a $5,000 baby bond for every new child born in America. The government would give it to you, you hold on to it, and over time, by the time the kid is college age, you have some money to go to college. And it was one of those ideas that you scratch your head and say, where the hell did that come from? And I think I know the answer, and I have no proof, but Mark Penn is her strategist and her Karl Rove, and he's a pollster. And he's written a book about the beauty of small initiatives. And for some unknown reason, Hillary Clinton made that proposal and then said, oh, never mind. I have a different one, a better one. So on Tuesday, she proposed to spend $20 to $25 billion a year for the government to create a 401k-style retirement account for all Americans. And she would propose giving up to $1,000 in matching funds to middle-income people who save money. She would give a dollar-to-dollar match for the first $1,000 you save if you earn up to $60,000 a year. And if you make from $60,000 to $100,000, the government would match 50% of the first 1,000 people who save $20 a month. Come on. I mean, I don't know exactly who this stuff appeals to, but if you remember, during the last few years of the Clinton administration, Bill was giving us bite-sized little items. And this all came out of focus group research and other kind of polling conducted by the same guy, Mark Penn. And who can be opposed to a savings program? Americans need to save more money. But, you know, I don't think that's a very important issue in the big scheme of things. And it's just another way of her to try to pander to certain voting constituencies while avoiding dealing with her sorry record on foreign policy, and in particular, Bush's war and occupation of Iraq. 888-5-PETER-B. Lines are open for you here in the Free Speech Zone today. Give me a call. Let me know what's on your mind. And again, I need somebody to advise me on whether I should sit through the Republican debate that's on my TiVo or not. Phil in Sacramento, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Hey, just stumbled upon your show here, but I heard you talking about Guantanamo detainees, and it's the first time I ever heard that there was these people were being in somebody else's custody and being sold to the United States. And I think that the statement that you make about, you know, having these people move into your home is crazy. I got to believe that, like our own justice system, there is probably a certain amount of people in custody that don't belong there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would believe that the percentage is low compared to the amount that should be there. And
Well, now, Phil, let's just talk honestly here about what your perceptions are and how they've been shaped, all right?
Yeah.
We've heard repeatedly that the people at Gitmo are really bad guys, the worst of the worst, okay? And in certain cases, there are a dozen or so people who've been identified as having been transferred to Gitmo, but they only got there last year, just before the 2006 mid-year elections. It was in September that Bush announced that they had emptied out the secret prison in Poland and the secret one in Bulgaria and the secret ones that we don't know about. And they had shipped Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and a handful of others to Guantanamo Bay. All right? Now, we are left with the impression that every one of the 330-some remaining detainees at Guantanamo Bay are as bad as KSM. And the truth is that that is not accurate. And there are people who are completely innocent. And I'm not talking about, Osama's driver. I don't think he's completely innocent. I don't think he's the worst of the worst, and, you know, I think that they ought to try him in American courts, and if he is found guilty of terrorist acts or other, crimes against the United States, he should be fairly tried, he should be convicted, he should be fairly sentenced, and he should serve out his term in an American prison, not in a gulag like Guantanamo Bay. But the fact that there are some bad people at Guantanamo does not change the fact that innocent people were swept up, particularly early in the so-called war on terror, shipped to Guantanamo, and it has taken some of these people 4 years to persuade their captors that they are completely innocent. And those are the people that I believe deserve asylum in the United States if, for whatever reason, they are unable to be returned to their home countries. That's what I was talking about, and I'm not inviting Khalid Sheikh Mohammed or his ilk to move in next to me or even down the hall from me. But the point I'm making is that these people are 100% innocent, and if that's the case, they deserve asylum in the United States of America if we cannot repatriate them.
So you said that you just threw a number out there, 12 people or whatever. Are you saying that there's, you know, hundreds of people in Guantanamo that haven't been taken off the battlefield and coming directly off the battlefield into custody, that the majority of those people are
the attorney who was with us earlier, Emmy McLean, said that there are between 60 and 80 that they know about. All right, consider that of the 335 number, many of those people have not had access to an attorney, and we don't know their whole stories, all right? But we're dealing here with 60 to 80 individuals who have been cleared for release by the United States. Not by me, not by some, you know, Noam Chomsky or some wacky liberal that Jim, you know, couldn't accept anything from. This is the very structure that was put in place by Bush and Cheney with these military commissions and the hearing boards that precede the military commissions. And they have evaluated these individuals and said that between 60 and 80 of them should go home, but they can't because their home countries would kill them, torture them, or otherwise make their lives miserable. And those are the people I'm talking about, and those are the people I would be willing to accept as my neighbors.
Okay, well, look, at stumbling onto your radio station and just listening to you, my impression is that, you know, my impression is that your opinion is that we just are wrongfully throwing people in custody and denying them of their basic rights.
Some of them we are,
you know, across the board. And I know this statement may shock you because we come from two ends of the spectrum. But yeah. I believe if there's 300 in custody and 100 of them are wrongfully in custody, the 200 people that we have in there. I mean, that's an acceptable loss. We're at war. These people are very dangerous
people.
Phil,
would you trade places with one of those innocent people to assure me or somebody like you that, you know, your innocence is not an issue because 200 really nasty people have been locked up?
No, but, you know, it's war, and I wouldn't. Absolutely not. I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I've been exposed to a lot of stuff. But, I mean, but I'm saying from a person who is a citizen of the United States and we're at war with another country. And
which country are which country are we at war of?
We're at Iraq.
Well, okay, but these are people who were mostly detained in Afghanistan. All right.
Yeah, and you know what? And if we were going into Iran and getting them, I wouldn't have a problem with that either.
All right,
anyway,
Phil. Phil, I'm late for a break here. I've enjoyed talking with you. I'm glad you stumbled across us. I hope you'll listen again, and I hope you'll call again. And
right.
My goal is simply to open your mind to the reality that there are some innocent people who've been caught up in the system at Gitmo, and you cannot deny the rights to the guilty in order to, you know, just establish that you're a hardliner and that, you know, therefore nobody who's detained there deserves any rights. My point is that those who have been cleared by our own process, as flimsy and, you know, limited in its legality and justice as it is, those people who can't go to their home countries deserve to come to the United States because we took a good portion of their lives away from them for no reason. 888-5-PETER-B. If you disagree, call me now. I'd love to talk with you. If you agree, you can call, too. It's 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
I'm Scott Dick, the host of the Tasty Planet Show, every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., and I want to tell you about my experiences with Monterey Salinas Transit's Bus 55. I personally have taken the bus a couple of times to fly out of the San Jose Airport. What a great way to spend $8 and avoid the headaches of driving, parking, driving, and messing with the San Jose commute. Check out Bus 55 at www.msp.org. I know it works. Bus 55, Monterey to San Jose, runs three times a day. It works.
It's time once again for our last traffic report of the evening, so let's see what's going on. Not a whole lot of activity, but we do have a couple things, so let's get to it. Salinas Old Stage Road at Old Natividad, we have a crash there. Two vehicles, one car actually went into a ditch. Minor injuries reported, so the fire department called out to the scene there. CHP is present as well. If you are in Live Oak, SoCal at Winkle Avenue, we have a fender bender on the right shoulder. Two vehicles, CHP on the scene. King City, Wild Horse Road at Highway 101, a big rig and a car involved in an accident, and the CHP is present on scene there. No problems reported on Highway 17 in either directions. That's northbound and southbound. Looking at eastbound 129 between Watsonville and Romas, looks like slow and go traffic, but traffic moving pretty well for the most part. And southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, no problems to report there whatsoever. And this report is brought to you by the fine folks at Purell Hand Sanitizer.
I am going to do it. Yes, I will. I hope. 7 minutes in front of the hour. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. And I am the operator, the technical operator here at the PBC show. And we changed things about 3 weeks ago. And I keep screwing up. And you may not notice it, but occasionally there's probably some dead air or some weirdness at the very end of the hour. And when that occurs, it's all my fault. So don't blame anybody else, including Carl Rove. It's just me. Michael, along the Central Coast, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter.
Hi.
Your idea about buying up the poppy crop for medicines?
Yeah.
Clinton suggested that briefly probably a year and a half ago, you know, a blip, one of those blips. But anyway.
Bill or Hill?
Bill.
Okay.
Kubler-Ross, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross,
sure.
The hospice movement, had a heroin in her cocktail for a compassionate cocktail for dying cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Robbins in one of his books, and I forgot the second name, it's Hotel Something, and he talks about that as a way to use that and take the incredible amounts of money away from the drug lords.
Right, and because, you know, most of the money doesn't go to the farmers, whether it's
exactly.
coca or poppies.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you might, just to refer you to a book called Drug Crazy, very, very clearly written, very well done, by Mike Gray.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes over all of this and how we are, by having these crazy work programs, basically, of the war on drugs, that lots of money gets into the hands of people who just buy arms.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, having a rational approach to these native medicines.
Well, the deeply religious Taliban is profiting from the drug trade.
Right.
And they basically take the position that we're poisoning infidels. So, you know, it's no blood on their hands, no skin off their nose.
Yeah. Well, thanks for bringing it up. I thought it was interesting that he mentioned it. I noticed he didn't mention it again, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But the book by Mike Gray is a real good one.
Great. Michael, thanks for the call.
About getting in there. Bye.
Okay, appreciate it.
Bye.
888-5 Peter B is our number. And I just found this online, and we'll see if we have time for the whole thing. I don't know. Jimmy Carter, who is one of the best ex-presidents in my lifetime, he was mixed as a president, but he's been a great ex-president, gave an interesting interview to the BBC. And I just want you to hear it. And if Jim in Sacramento is still listening, I hope he hears it.
Usual, Dick Cheney is wrong. He's a militant who avoided any service of his own in the military.
He's talking about Dick Cheney.
And he has been most forceful in the last 10 years or more in fulfilling some of his more ancient commitments, that the United States has a right to inject its power through military means in other parts of the world. And here he's trying again to promote what might very well be a counterproductive and a catastrophic military adventure.
You didn't mince your words on Dick Cheney, do you?
Well, you know, he's been a disaster for our country. I think he's been overly persuasive on President George Bush. and quite often he's prevailed. But it was one of his main commitments was to go into Iraq under false pretenses, and he still maintains that those false pretenses are accurate. He still maintains somehow that Saddam Hussein was involved in the 9/11 attacks. He still maintains that Iraq somehow or another had weapons of mass destruction, claims that have been disproven by all reasonable sources.
That's Jimmy Carter in an interview with the BBC, and you can find it online at thinkprogress.org. One more item before we wrap up today. Put it under Iraq, unintended consequences, but it's one that I've talked about for years. Turkey is now lining up its troops on its southern border, which it shares with the northern border of Iraq. And the population of Kurds, an ethnic group, is present in southern Turkey and in northern Iraq. Turkey is very concerned and deeply opposed to Kurdish independence. And they are brutal in their suppression of the ethnic Kurds inside Turkey. But with Turkish troops moving toward the border and poised to enter Iraq to attack Kurds, we have a new situation here that could wobble way out of control. And Turkey is the country that turned down $5 billion in bribery from the Bushies to allow us to deploy troops into Iraq via Turkey back in 2003. So this is a very disturbing development, and I hope you'll watch it carefully. I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all your calls, including you, Jim. I'm glad you called. We'll be back at you tomorrow. Same time, same stations.
Happy trails to you.
And visit our website at peterbcollins.com. We've got zippy new podcasts available for your daily consumption.
Happy trails to you. Keep smiling.
If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A tentative agreement with Chrysler and this union worker couldn't be happier.
Chrysler's here to stay, and employees are behind the company 100%.
It didn't look that way earlier today when talks reached an impasse and the United Auto Workers called a strike. But 6.5 hours later, the two sides had a settlement. WWJ Radio's Jeff Gilbert in Detroit.
This deal will now have to be ratified by Chrysler workers. While the union isn't giving any details, it will likely be similar to the agreement the UAW worked out at General Motors, with job security guarantees and a new trust fund to pay for retiree health care. Chrysler had been seeking help from the union to make it more competitive with foreign auto companies, and likely they did get some relief there.
The deal at GM was ratified by the UAW membership today. A school's worst nightmare played out in Cleveland today.
All I know is that the principal screamed over the intercom, "Code blue, code blue." And I just freaked out. The teachers told me to stay in the classroom. I'm like, I'm not staying in the classroom. What is a code blue? What is a code blue? And everybody was talking about that's shooting. And it was like, he's shooting up the school.
A 14-year-old boy who'd been suspended from Success Tech Academy, an alternative school, returned today and opened fire, wounding 4 people before committing suicide. Police Chief Mike McGrath says the boy was heavily armed.
2 handguns were confiscated, box of ammunition, and 3 knives.
The boy had been suspended for fighting. A Bush administration program to find illegal immigrants holding jobs by matching names and Social Security numbers has been derailed in court. CBS News correspondent Bob Orr reports.
A federal judge in San Francisco temporarily blocked the program, saying simple record-keeping errors could hurt innocent people. by causing, quote, the termination of employment of lawfully employed workers. Homeland Secretary Chertoff today vowed to fight the injunction and said there'll be no drop-off in enforcement.
We are going to continue to vigorously enforce the law. We have a lot of tools we can continue to use. We will use them aggressively.
But there's no question the ruling will make the job harder, giving some cover to those companies and workers who are purposely trying to evade the law. Bob Orr, CBS News, Washington.
Ignoring the pleas of top U.S. diplomats,
the ayes have it, the resolution.
The House Foreign Affairs Committee approved a resolution declaring that the 1915 massacre of Armenians by Ottoman Turks was genocide, something sure to anger the Turkish government. CBS News correspondent Charles Wolfson has more.
Senior administration officials now hope that Turkey will express its disappointment with the House committee's vote.